Good afternoon, I'm Ryan Baker. Well, that's not the way we wanted to ring in the new year last night. Ohio State got bullied all night and lost to Miami 24-14. The Buckeyes finished the year 12-2 after starting 12-0. Here's safety Caleb Downs on missing out on the chance to win back-to-back national championships.
At the end of the day, we didn't execute the way that we needed to win the game, and that's what it is, and we can't change it now. So, I mean, go from here.
Immediately after the game, tight end Jelani Thurman announced that he will enter the transfer portal. This morning, quarterbacks Lincoln Keenholz and Mason Maggs said they will as well. Ohio State is expected to hire Cortez Hankton to replace Brian Hartline as wide receiver coach. Hankton most recently was receivers coach at LSU. Former Buckeye Chris Olave will miss the Saints' Week 18 game with a blood clot in his lung.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. The new year. And it didn't start off great. That's for sure for a Ohio State fan. And the Buckeyes coming home after what you would think is going to be categorized as a fail last night. We'll get into it. We are Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and TLC. Happy New Year to my crew and everybody listening to us and watching us, because we appreciate you on the holiday here. We needed to be here. This is one of those days where win or lose, you show up. You don't get to choose whether, let's just be here if they win. And this is one of those games where I understand where people are with. The one thing I don't like is if you called them fraudulent last night, you better have done that a week ago. You better have been one of those people that said, I see them losing the game. Because I don't really buy into the, you know, all of a sudden now they're a fraudulent team. If you're objective about what happened, and you and I are going to be, that team got bullied up front the way they did against Indiana. Now, they have enough talent to overcome that kind of stuff. They do, and I always thought they would. But when teams have it where it counts, fundamentally, Matty, and we'll get into all of it, the offensive line, where they have it defensively, you're always in a game. And I know that people were talking about Carson Beck being the X factor in a bad way for Miami, that fluster him, he'll make mistakes. Guy's thrown one pick in his last five games, and he doesn't throw the ball past 5 yards, usually. But I'm telling you, that guy was an X factor last night, because when he trucked Roker, and I can't remember who else was in on that tackle, if you get some of that out of Julian Sain, that may have been a different story.
Well, Happy New Year to you, man. Happy New Year to you. We got a big day ahead of us, that's for sure. Because even just zooming out from what we're about to get into, we got three massive games, man, which are starting here in just a couple minutes. Down there in Miami. So, yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot to unpack. I want to start here because I think sometimes we can get caught up in more of the Ohio State not doing what they did, and that's the reason why they lost the game. You and I think, like to give credit to the other team, too. Credit to Miami. They were just better. They were just better than Ohio State from start to finish in that game, and there were people talking leading into the game, specifically a guy like David Pollack saying, listen, I'm not saying it for Ohio State down there in the trenches. And Buckeye fans didn't like hearing that. They didn't like hearing that, but that showed itself amongst a whole bunch of other things, which we'll lay out. I think there's no ignoring that just up front for Ohio State on offense, they've just been nowhere near good enough over the last two games. A combined 10 sacks over two contests. And when the talent starts to even out later in the season and you're playing good programs like in Indiana, you're playing a good program like Miami, those things can really, really sour your season, and it has for Ohio State. They got exposed up there, right? And you're asking a freshman, a redshirt freshman, and Gabe Van Sickle to essentially come in and kind of save your offense to a certain degree, and I get there's other guys that are part of that offensive line that have to do their part. But that's a tough ask. It's a tough ask for him in a unit that's going up against real dudes. We talked about Bain and Messidor and that crew all week long. And those guys are being coached up by Hall of Famer and Jason Taylor. And so it was just a bad storm. And this sport has always shown us and will continue to show us, if you don't have that unit in order, when talent balances out it can be a long day for you, regardless of who you have at quarterback and who you have on the outside. And so that to me is just number one on the board as far as why that game didn't go the way Ohio State wanted it to go. They had opportunities, obviously, the rest of the way, but you could just feel it, AR. You could feel it early and often that that was going to be an issue for them, and they couldn't get it right, and that's why their season is unfortunately over.
You nailed it. The problem here is that Miami is the best defensive front that Ohio State has faced all season. We knew that going into the game. Now, with that being said, you had 3.5 weeks to devise a game plan. And watching that game, I'm going to be completely honest with you. This would have been a tough pill to swallow. But I believe Ohio State's game plan offensively should have been exactly what Miami threw out there last night. Quick throws. Yeah. Neutralize Bain and Mesidor. And the way you do that, yes, you can run the football. But if you think about what Miami's game plan was, even on the third and shorts, release guys, you have to press that. Like, you have to force Carson Beck to throw the ball down the field. And the only way to really do that is to get up in their face and press those guys. And the assignments of guys releasing out of the backfield on those, you know, third and get to the sticks and kind of stuff. Like, honestly, if Ohio State's, and like I said, it's a tough pill to swallow because you feel like you have so much more than that. You have the downfield threats with Tate and Jeremiah, and you hit the big one early, and then the pick six happens. But yeah. Yeah. You know, but my point is that in a weird way, I was watching a team in Ohio State last night that had 3.5 weeks. If we know who Reuben Bain and Akeem Mesidor are, they certainly do.
They do, AR, but I think sometimes it just comes down to dude-on-dude stuff, man, as far as, hey, physicality and execution. Yeah, walk right into that one. But that's what it is, right? Because you're right. You can sit back if you're Coach Day and tell your guy, hey, we're dealing with these guys that are maybe going to be first-round picks, second-round picks, whatever it is. But sometimes, man, it's a physical sport. And when you don't have the execution and the physicality to match that, you're going to run into issues. They brought some creative blitzes, I thought, as well. Then some things where the offensive line just wasn't picking up where the blitz was coming from or the stunt or whatever it may be. But that's what it was, man. It was just, hey, we're going to out-execute you, we're going to out-physical you, and we saw it for two games in a row now, and you got to give credit to Indiana and Miami for being built, maybe not built better down there in the trenches, but just finding a way to execute more times than not down in the trenches, because we know Ohio State has just as much talent as everybody, anybody and everybody around the country.
So now I can point to some things that certainly, if they would have gone the other way, it's a different game. And one of the ones that pops up to me, and not just the lucky bounces or whatever.
Yeah, two of those, right? Downs knocked the ball out twice.
Okay.
And you get, I mean, that's right. Sports, right? I mean, it's sports, but those are tough what-ifs for sure in a game like this.
Yeah, Miami was built to win games like this. They also had come off a game where a lot of us weren't giving them confidence credit. Meaning just going to A&M and winning a rock fight in a very ugly game. And I even said it. I'm like, I'm not sure they get any more confidence other than they survived in advance, which was big for them. Committee looks decent today, right? Alabama wins and, you know, Miami wins. So at least they look good. The whole flawed process with Madison and the Dolly Madison Gems and Tulane being in this, that was the mistake. That's the mistake of the sport right now, is that Texas and Notre Dame have to be in there somehow, other than if you're not going to have James Madison and Tulane in there. But make no mistake, these teams that got a little momentum, and we talked about this, Ohio State was in an eerily similar position, but different, in that it was eerily similar and that they were able to use a last loss of the regular season, or in this case, the Big Ten Championship game, as a refocus, re-energize, re-motivate everything. You're not losing two in a row to end your year. Like, they had that energy to them. But what they didn't have was the momentum they had last year when they were catching teams waiting for them, essentially. And so they were the team waiting, and here comes Miami. The one thing I never thought really would happen is that Ohio State's offense against Indiana and Miami would be held to just such an average. They just looked average. Now, maybe what I have to come back to is how amazing Ohio State's offensive line was last year and how they pieced that together.
Mm-hmm.
The running back tandem that they had last year, and I'm not saying the running backs are bad, they're good, but they weren't those guys. And then the veteran experience at quarterback they had in Will Howard versus the incredible talent, albeit a very young talent, who hasn't faced as much as Howard had faced in his career, and the go-get-it attitude that that team had. For some reason, and we'll have Bobby Carpenter on bottom of the hour. Bobby, in numerous times, said to us, this team's better than last year. But the one thing that I don't think you'll ever know, they may be more talented across the board, like when you just count scoreboard of players.
Yeah.
But if you don't have it, if you can't count on it, and you don't know when you're under pressure in the one-and-done season, Maddie, when you have young quarterback, offensive line,
iffy,
the running back tandem that you had last year, that yes, you had Bo Jackson, but you're still relying on a young player.
You know what the other part of that is, too? Is Bo Jackson, I thought he had some good runs in this game, provided a bit of a spark there. He's not the blocker yet that Travion or Quinshon was.
Blasted.
Yes, and
on
so
that blitz.
That was another part, because you're so right to bring up last year. That was confidence in those guys, right?
That extra
heat
second
was coming, those guys would pick it up. And Bo right now just isn't there, and he's a freshman, right? And so
that's a lot
to throw at a young running back. But you just had all the confidence in the world of Travion last year that he would pick that up and hold up and give Will that extra second to make some noise.
They got matched up with a team that was as physical, maybe more physical, even when, you know, I watched, even when Tate short-armed that ball, knew he was going to get hit, and he short-armed it, he still got body slammed. Like, Miami was coming last night.
They came in with a chip on their shoulder. You could feel it in their fan base. You could feel it amongst their team,
but
right?
They weren't supposed to have a fan base advantage because that place was supposed to be 85-15.
And I think their head coach is that type of tone setter, too. Mario Cristobal's an offensive line-minded guy. We saw it at Oregon. He brought the same thing down to Miami. And so, look, they just had that great combination of things to expose Ohio State right now in one of their areas of weakness, and this is always going to be a line of scrimmage game, always, and they got exposed in the game, and that's where their season's over.
Yeah, they didn't quite have the it factor. I don't know what it is. I always thought that they could or would have it based on they're a flip the switch kind of program, like you thought, but with the 3.5 weeks, usually that makes a difference, and they couldn't neutralize it. The game plan usually is very pedestrian. Get the ball to four. And they did in the second half. But, man, quarterback under pressure, didn't have the instincts to take off the way he probably should have on occasion. Running game was more of a let's find an area to cut back instead of sprinting to the corner. I noticed that Bo was always looking for a place to maybe cut it back. But all that being said, you get one stop, and we would have had drama in that game for sure.
Yeah.
All right, we're just getting started. Here's our menu. We'll have Carp on at 12:30. Austin Ward will join us at 1 o'clock, our guy down in Dallas. We'll get with a national flavor with our guy Pete Futek from College Football News. We will do a Hockey and Hounds today. Boy, that's a heartbreaker last night at Nationwide as well, but Sivo will jump on at 2:30. And we'll get back into the Buckeyes. How much do we feel the layoff hurt them? Or better off, how much did they feel it hurt them? Ryan Day responds. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Dude on dude stuff, man.
Big Voice Guy here to remind you that you're listening to The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Okay, thanks. I have 3 more seconds. Bye-bye.
That glaucoma is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Because there are often no early symptoms, nearly half of those with glaucoma may not even know they have it until vision loss has occurred.
I was diagnosed with normal tension glaucoma in July of 2020. And what we found out at that point was I had already lost 40% of my sight. And you think it only affects people that are, you know, 75 or older, retired, grandparents. And that's not the reality of it.
I didn't think at all glaucoma was going to affect me because I didn't know of anyone that had glaucoma, no one in my family. When you have glaucoma, you can't get back that sight that you lost. And so early detection and treatment is vitally, vitally important.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments. Schedule an eye exam today.
National Glaucoma Research, a bright, focused foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Learn how to protect your sight at stopglaucoma.org.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns, locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
And now,
T-Bone and Tybus.
Look at that box. I see it. No way you eat all them.
You know, you said you got to be two something to do something. Well, to eat that, you got to be three something to do something.
T-Bone and Tybus Mornings on the Fan is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at partly to mostly cloudy skies here for your New Year's Day with high temperatures into the mid-20s here for this afternoon. A few flurries are possible, but otherwise we're looking at pretty quiet conditions. And we're looking ahead to more sunshine here for tomorrow on your Friday with highs into the lower 30s. And we'll keep the 30s in the forecast here as we head through the weekend with a mix of clouds and sunshine. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1, The Fan!
24-14. That's the score most of us expected. The other way. Honestly. That's it. That's what Vegas expected. Las Vegas! I'll tell you, we were doing the tailgate yesterday right after you guys got off the air. And at 5:10, I looked at the books. And it dumped 2 points.
7.5?
7.5. Mm, okay. And it just was like, okay, let's dive into this. Why is this happening?
Yeah.
And a lot of it was that people believed this was going to be a low-scoring game. And in a low-scoring game, 9.5 is a lot of points to be laying in a game that's going to be under 40. It is. Now, it doesn't mean they couldn't have covered that. And we can talk about all the ifs. I'm willing to do that. It's okay. But it doesn't. It doesn't supplant like what's happening with what really happened in the game, which is that they were not executing at a high level against a very, very good defense. That screen has got to be blocked by Jeremiah. Or I'd love to know exactly what the design was there. I don't.
He just whiffed.
But Keontae's like, great, and he always really blitzes, player. And he's probably the guy that they needed back the most because he had missed the last three games prior to the A&M game.
Yeah, he's
and
a good player.
He's AR. A very good player.
And you watch him on that play. His eyes never leave Julian.
Well, because
never the entire time.
You know what they said, Maddie? About I can't remember which ex-player said it. So the second Ohio State sent that guy in motion.
Claire. It was Claire.
The second they sent him in motion,
yeah.
It was a tell. It was absolute tell, and he read it.
He knew
so if you know it, but Jeremiah knows where the ball's going
to. Correct.
And he's got to screen him somehow. Yeah, now, if that's designed to be more of a, like, supposed to bubble back inside, and he's trying to get inside leverage, and not just, you know, but I'm telling you, that ball's got to be thrown. It's a timing play, and when you do that, the most important part is, if a guy is going to take a risk and jump it, he's got to be slowed down, and he wasn't, and it's
you nailed it,
picture
though,
perfect.
You nailed it. I think that's probably something they identified on Miami's defensive side of things in their film sessions that, hey, if we get this look, you go. It kind of reminded me of the confidence Malcolm Butler had in the Super Bowl, that when they got that look from Seattle, he just knew, I'm going right away. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure it was Claire. When he goes in motion, you just go back and watch it. He's not even worried about Jeremiah. He just said, I'm going to get this ball. And then number four just doesn't do what he was supposed to do. We know how great Jeremiah is, but that was just a bad whiff on his part. And then he took it to the house. And that was just obviously a massive momentum swing on the part for on their side of things.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, you take that seven away, and like I said, I don't want to play this game of, but there were certain things that you could point out, like, okay, their kicker makes a 49-yarder.
Yeah.
Ohio State tries a 49-50-yarder, and he hooks it left.
Right before, like, the half, yeah.
These are, and it just didn't seem like, we were all very interested in how aggressive Ohio State would come out, and what they would do in this game, and how they would feel like they could attack Miami. The bottom line is, Bain was too much for Luke Montgomery. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the people, I think I haven't heard Ryan Day say after the game that they're different than Indiana. They don't twist. They just kind of bull rush you. I'll tell you what, I saw Bain and Mesidor both line up on the same side over Ohio State's right side and then twist, and that turned into a sack.
And guess
so
what
it wasn't
that
all
is.
Night of just bullying guys.
And guess what that is? That's them smelling blood in the water in a film session and saying, that side of the line,
no doubt,
they can't hang with us. So we're going to put both our horses over there and get creative to your point, and we're going to make them stop us until they do it. We're going to continue to wreck them and wreck them and wreck them. And that's just what the sport is. And so that's credit to Miami and their staff for saying, we got NFL talent. You guys got an area of your offensive line to where you can't hold up against us. We know it. And we're just going to go out there and bludgeon you until you do stop it. And they couldn't do it.
They still had the game, though. They still had the chance because Miami, when they go up 14-0 at halftime, a lot of people I'm watching the game with at the casino are saying it's over. And I looked at all of them and I gave them my classic, all right. You can think that, but I have two questions for you, or maybe one basic question. Do you feel Ohio State's getting shut out tonight? And everybody I'm sitting with, well, no, they're not getting shut out. I go, okay. Now, so you're in the game. Mm-hmm. You're not getting blank tonight. That's not happening. Number two, Miami just went from could to should because they went into their locker room thinking, we cannot blow this game now. So all the pressure, in a weird way, went to Miami at 14-0. It did because they have to, can the Canes close? And I was texting my brother and other people like, you watch now. Let's see if Carson Beck and that running game, and by the way, their defense, you were hoping they were getting a little tired and banged up, and both kind of happened a little bit for Miami. But Ohio State still had a chance right then and there to stop them, and it was eerily similar to what Ohio State did at Michigan. They lined up and bludgeoned them at the end of the game. And what Miami did, and if you noticed, they put in Brown. They took Fletcher out.
Mm-hmm.
And Brown and Pringle. And I don't know if it was Fletcher. It's not that I don't think Cristobal did not trust him. But he has a propensity to fumble. And he did it early in the game.
You're on it.
And I'm wondering if he trusted a couple other running backs. And Brown for sure. And Ohio State couldn't handle them in the trenches when it counted the most, and yet they still had a chance to win that game. I thought the other biggest moment of the game was, there were two big moments. First of all, you want to acknowledge whether that was holding on Daniels or they called the wrong guy. It was a weird call. I know he got kind of on an angle and went down, and they called it. For a game that they weren't throwing the flag, that was interesting to me because unless they called somebody in the interior and they just called the wrong number, I don't know. And then the other big moment of that game we haven't talked about, which I thought was massive, was when Ohio State punted down three to inside the 10-yard line. The pressure that would have put on Miami then, only up three in the shadow of their own goal line, and they had to repunt off a stupid illegal formation. And Miami gets 20 yards out of that. So they're back at the 30-yard line. And then right after that, you know what happened? Fletcher breaks a 20-yarder. Yep. Like, so, and Tony, who was the guy that everybody thought we had to cover, was blocking everybody.
He was.
The littlest guy in the field is throwing the biggest blocks.
You mentioned that penalty on special teams. Special teams has been an issue, man. It's been a problem over the last couple of years, especially throughout this year. They haven't been clean enough there. Whether it was the field goal before halftime, whether it was what you mentioned right there, the field goal late against Indiana, that area of this program, because you got to bring all three. You got to bring all three every single game, and especially in games like this, that has to get corrected because it's coming back to bite them and haunt them in big-time games.
You know what's funny real quickly, Maddie? Yeah. I think there's part of me and maybe part of the fan base that discounts it, the kicking part, because you always feel like Ohio State is too good, too talented to absolutely need a great kicker. It's weird, and I admit it, it's probably a bit of overconfidence and not when they get in even games, but it's funny.
You know, like, what I like in it,
I don't
too?
Like feeling like Ohio State has to count on a kicker to win big games, but it's come back to haunt him. You're exactly right.
You know what I like in it too, AR? It's like a baseball lineup that can go through the regular season and hit a whole bunch of home runs and have guys that can strike out too, but you can still get by. And then you get to the playoffs and you face consistent elite pitching. You need some guys in that lineup that'll get you a single and a double. And that's the field goals. Those singles and doubles to just rack up three and rack up
momentum,
three there to stay attached in the games. Another thing that's been a big time issue over the last two, the offense hasn't been good on third down. between Indiana and Miami, this unit 7 of 22 on money down.
You know what
You're
I think that
win
is?
Games that
you know what I think it's an easy explanation. They're so used to having time to pick those up, and in the last two games they didn't.
Yeah,
and it's just lesser talent. They're just playing lesser teams, so your third down conversion rate's going to look so good when Sane, who's so accurate, has time to pick you apart.
To your point,
versus the last two games
coming throughout the regular season, second in the nation in third down conversion rate, 7 of 22 versus Indiana and Miami combined.
I think part of it's real. It doesn't make Ohio State fraudulent.
No,
like it makes it a little more real, in that it's hard to always judge them when they're looking great against lesser teams. It's hard, and it makes you feel like okay. They may not be as good as they are against a lesser team, but we still know they've got mega talent.
They do. And Coach Bowen's doing some good things recruiting-wise on the offensive line, but that's the air. You got to get some nasty dudes up front with some, you know, some oomph to them and some guys with a mentality that are going to throw dudes out of the club consistently, because if they get that fixed, then everything you're talking about will crystallize itself and the weapons will shine.
All right, we'll continue to do the postmortem with our guy Bobby Carpenter from down in Dallas. Dude's been burning the candle at both ends. He'll join us in 2 minutes. Rothman and I.
The nonprofits VetTix and FirstTix have given away tens of millions of tickets and counting to vets currently serving military, the immediate family of troops killed in action, and our brave current and former first responders. These tickets are a meaningful way to say thank you to America's heroes. And now we want you to be part of the mission. Got extra tickets to concerts, games, or special events? Or want to see if you qualify? We want you to go to vettix.org and firsttix.org today. Give something to those who gave.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony sometimes likes to sit and stare at his bundle of Emmy Awards. Unfortunately, it's through the glass of the pawn shop. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back into Rothman and Ice, and we go down to DFW and the big fella waiting to board the jet back to CBUS, our friend Bobby Carpenter from Morning Juice and the Bobby Carpenter Show, the former Buckeye great. My man, I wish the Happy New Year was coming off a victory. It wasn't, but I'll start with this. You had mentioned a couple times to us during the year that you felt overall this team may be more talented or a better team than last year's team. Did something show itself over the last 2 weeks that made you feel like it just wasn't the experience they needed, or fundamental parts of this team were just not developed as much as they needed to be?
Well, thanks, Rothman. Happy New Year. I appreciate you having me on. And you know, that plane I'm boarding, you know, if it gets to Columbus, great. If it buries itself somewhere between here and there, that's good too. You know, we're all on the same page here. You know, as you look at this and see kind of what happened, and you do the postmortem, I may have got an hour of sleep last night just sitting there staring at the ceiling, trying to figure out exactly what transpired, why it happened. You know, you look at this, I think a lot of it had to do, you know, with issues on the offensive line. And, you know, with Edgar Shibola being out, and, you know, he didn't necessarily play great in the second half of Indiana. You have the issues with Gabe Van Sickle in there. You go to Padilla, Ian Moore's in the games. And what's amazing is, no, that did with Indiana. You come on the second half, you're able to move the football, you drive down, and you're able to have some success. But the fact that it kind of took a whole half, you got to figure that out. And they're able to move the ball, just not really score it, whether, you know, it was a pick six or, you know, another missed field goal. Like, it felt like this team was close, and they never were really able, Rothman, to put the pedal down like they did last year. Like, they were close. It seemed like they wanted to do it, but they were never able to really just, you know, go up-tempo, go get it, and go bing, bang, boom, boom, and, like, be able to drive down the field in six or seven plays in a minute or two.
Staying on the offensive side of the ball, Bobby, how did you feel about the play calling and the flow of the game with Coach Day taking over?
I don't know that was, like, a big deal. You know, people look at that. I mean, a lot of it was the inability to protect, and so I don't care what you're calling. If you can't protect it, you're going to have issues. And I think that was a big thing that they had, is especially early in the game, they just couldn't protect. And so as it improved, you saw the improvement of Jordan Fay, and you felt like there was a more cohesive offense. And you saw some of the runs in the second half. I mean, they ripped off some 8, 10, 12-yard runs. A couple of them in a row, they had a hard time sustaining drives. And I don't know if that's a function of coaching as far as, like, the play calling or more just the fact that, you know, hey, Miami was really good up front, and this offensive line, you know, maybe struggled a little more than we thought. Like, they weren't able to kind of rekindle that magic that they had last season.
I'm with you on that. I think certainly we underestimated a little bit, even though the pregame narrative was that Miami had it where it counted in the trenches, and that certainly showed itself. Do you believe that Ohio State just didn't have the it factor when it counted? Now, Julian Sain's been so good, almost won the Heisman Trophy. But then we haven't seen him in the one-and-done part of the portion of the season yet. But I agree with you. They couldn't protect him. Maybe he needed to have more instinctual kind of takeoff ability. But, man, he looked uncomfortable in the last two games. And I agree with you. It was about the offensive line. And so I almost looked at this game, Bob, in a weird way that Ohio State almost should have mirrored the playbook of Miami with the short, quick throws, get it out fast. Like, I almost think, like, that game plan would have fit Ohio State just as good.
I think it would have. I think there was times they did try to get it out a little bit. I give Miami some credit. They rolled up their coverage, and, you know, the guys were, you know, they did a pretty good job, about as good a job as you could. They tried to take some shots, and, you know, maybe some more quick game would have been better. They tried a little. You know, maybe some moving in the pocket. You know, and Julian Sands is a good athlete, not a great athlete. But some of it, you know, they've been running the, you know, the zone read with, you know, the quarterback option to be able to throw the screen out there. And that, I felt like that was kind of one of the defining plays of the game. And Keontae Scott, their nickel, is one of the best players. And they're going to give him something like that. I mean, he jumped it, he let it. And so that's like the other element. You struggled on the offensive line, and you weren't necessarily great on third down offensively. And then you're going to give them a pick six. Like, it's really hard to win football games doing those things.
Going to the defensive side of the ball, Bobby, what did you see from that unit on Ohio State's side when it came to Miami's ability to kind of move the chains on third down?
Well, probably they kind of attacked the slot a little bit, and whether that was Lorenzo Styles, you know, before he got hurt, and then Jermaine Matthews after they moved him inside. You know, the defining factor I look at, you know, on defense, there was obviously a couple plays. And I'm going to give Mario Cristobal and their offensive staff credit. Like, their first touchdown, you know, they're going to, you know, run the jet sweep to Malachi Toney. They fake it. They leak the back out. Like, it's a hell of a play call. And so, you know, give them that. They did a heck of a job with it. But, you know, some of the other things, if you have them after they go down and score in the second half to open the half, and you have the third and five, if you get off the field there, like, I'm fully convinced you get the ball, they obviously drive down the scores, and, you know, you're right back in that thing, man, with 14 points on the board. They just couldn't get it done, couldn't get over that hump with it. And part of it was, too, one of my keys to the game, I talked about before, was winning first down. And when it goes into the running game, and some of it the passing game, but it felt like Ohio State was getting oozed a little bit. Like, their tackling wasn't as good as it had been. It wasn't as sure as it had been. And some of that's Fletcher, how good he was. But you've got to find a way to do a better job.
Yeah, and listen, no excuses. Miami played really well. There were a couple of plays, like you pointed out, that could have gone their way. A ball doesn't bounce this way, or a call. And listen, the refs really didn't get in the way of the game until that holding call. And I was almost convinced that they may have called the wrong number, because it really didn't look like a hold. And it was a key part of the game. But bottom line is, Miami was a physical team, and Ohio State didn't handle it the way they needed to handle that. And so now you kind of look at, you know, what this season was and what this season accomplished. They did flip the rivalry, but how does it feel to you? Because it's the opposite of the feeling we had last year, where they didn't beat the rival, yet they're the last team standing, and now we finally get a taste of, well, you beat your rival. How does it feel? Because you didn't have anything else to show for it.
Yeah, so be careful what you wish for. For all the people that say, oh, that's all I care about, you know, and how empty that feeling is right now. And I think that there was a huge emotional burden. It was obviously lifted, but that was only because there was a huge emotional toll that was paid this year to ultimately win that game against Michigan. And so I think that there was a hangover for that for Indiana. And for this game, I don't think there's any excuses. Like, the team, they looked as good as I'd seen them look, man. I watched them practice Friday, Saturday, Sunday before they left. They looked fast. They looked physical. I was focused a little more on the defense. That's why I usually hang out. But offensively, they looked fast. And I thought the offensive line, I'm like, they always get underrated. They're a good offensive line. Like, they go out there and they play tough. They play hard. They play together. And they just didn't build that same chemistry this year.
Zooming out from Ohio State quickly, Bob, looking at the bracket and the rest of the way for the college football playoff, who do you think right now is the most complete team in this bracket?
I would say the Indiana's the one seed. They're really stinking good. We'll see what happens today. I know everybody just wants to discount them because they're Indiana, even though that they beat Ohio State and they beat Oregon. They're the only team left that has beaten two teams that are still in the playoff. It's a heck of a job by them. So I think they're in a really good spot. What they're able to do. I think Indiana is in a good spot as well. Indiana's in a good spot. And then I think Oregon is in a pretty good spot. Now, I think probably the best team the last couple weeks outside of Indiana has been Georgia. And they've been playing some good football lately. So we'll see if they can continue to do that, or they choose to kind of move on and build the advantage and quite so much anymore.
Yeah, we'll see how it unfolds. It's certainly wide open. It was wide open even before this game last night, but we always felt like Ohio State on paper. But they don't win them and don't play them on paper, man, and Miami hurt them physically up front, and that eventually turned out to be the result of the game. My man, bust that drink cart down as soon as you can, and we'll see you back safely here in CBUS.
Maybe not, but I appreciate it, Roth, and thank you for the sentiments.
Thanks, buddy. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Enjoy, guys.
Thank you. That is our friend Bobby Carpenter from the Morning Juice here on the Bryant Heat and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, so much to continue to break down in this game on where it went wrong for Ohio State. And Ryan Day, Julian Sain, of course, had to face the music in the press conference. You'll hear both of those reactions next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
What hope is? Hope is action. Carving a path forward, even when it's hard.
And kids who still know how to dream. They're the best pathfinders of all.
So at Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children living in poverty worldwide to grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and so all those good things can come true for them. Safe.
And that means safe at home, safe at school, and safe online.
Hope means walking this path together, all of us. Because when we work together, we can do so much more.
That's right. Hope includes you.
Child Fund, because we need each other.
To learn how Child Fund works with children in 23 countries to help them achieve their full potential, visit childfund.org. That's childfund.org.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how little you are, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Bella, let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows, and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience, and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Good girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dogs, Inc. puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
Around the world, Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible, by helping ensure access to healthcare, nutrition, and educational opportunities. And most importantly, by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment. through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Like trying to snap a picture of Bigfoot. Nobody has ever witnessed Maddie eating a carb. This is Rothman and Ice.
Unless maybe.
We were all unless, thinking the same
unless
thing.
Unless maybe the Ravens lose to the Steelers, and that's part of the equation. But that's for you guys to figure out. $15 to get in that game last night down in Dallas.
Really?
Yeah, 15. You could get into like the 400 level. And I was saying, if you lived in the area and you were a Buckeye fan, and I just get in and walk around the concourse, like it's a cool place, AT&T, that's a cool stadium. You could just get in for
$15.
Just kind of wander around and just hang over the club level a little bit and just kind of roam. Just be a roamer.
It's absolutely worth it. I think the worst seats in that stadium are those suites behind the bench. Like you can't
the dugout
really,
ones.
Yeah, you can't see the game.
Well,
right?
Yeah, you're watching that on the big screen.
But I always think about that, like how much money those people probably spend to sit there. But you can't really see like the live action. I don't know if I'd want to sit there. AR.
You can't see the dude on dude live action that you were looking for, Matty.
The dude stuff, man.
You can watch it. Listen, it's weird because that screen does go from basically one end to the other. Mm-hmm. And when I was down there for the championship game years and years ago with Bob, like you do find yourself watching the game on the screen,
the dude on dude action.
I got a couple of tennis dudes staying at my house right now.
Yes, he does.
A couple of Euros.
You know, I'm sure there are a lot of people, a lot of Buckeye fan that already booked their flights to Phoenix before the game last night. I hope they bought refundable fares, or maybe they just said, hey, let's do Miami instead. Let's lock in, because the confidence was there. And that's what I was saying before, is that, you know, as much as, you knew you had a kicker that might fail you, or you knew that you had a young quarterback, like, and yes, you did respect Miami's defense, but you didn't think they had near enough when it counted at the most pivotal times of the game. These were still the defending champs in Ohio State. Different team. Yeah. And that's the one thing I take from last year to this year. That as much as, yes, they were the defending champs, and they have an edge in their minds, that the program has an edge against teams that hadn't been there in a long time, like Miami. Like, maybe I look at that way too big picture. The micro part of this are the players in the game and the coaches that are doing it. And we create narratives in the media that we think have a massive impact on games, and they really don't. And so this was a team in Miami that had won a game, that caught a little momentum. We thought that if you pressured Beck, he'd make some mistakes. Guess what? Beck was good. When he was pressured, he took off, and he ran over Roker and IGB, and he got a pivotal first down because he rolled over the body. He got out of there for 3 yards. He kept them ahead of the chains. You didn't force him to throw the ball downfield, like really beat you down, throwing it, taking risks, because that's what you wanted. Now, he did take some risks. Like, even at the end of the half, I thought it was stupid that they took that shot. I thought that they would run a little screen and try to get three more at the end of the half. The other big move by Cristobal was this one. I can't remember the exact. It was when they overturned the first down. And Miami had a fourth and a half a yard, and they're up 14, but they're in their own side of the field. And at that point, the inner struggle that must have been going on for him to like, okay, do I do it? Because if I punt, am I going to send this weakness vibe to my team that we can't get a half a yard? Or am I going to play this really smart and not take a chance, punt the ball, I'm shutting them out, I'm playing good defense? That call, flipping the field there, was actually a confidence call, because you know what it says to your team? we're good enough to win because we got it where it counts, mm-hmm. defensively.
Yeah.
So, you know, the old Dan Campbell, I'm not sending the weakness vibe to my team. If we've gone for it all year, I'm a big situational guy. And he played situation there. Because most of those teams can get a half a yard.
And it's easy to believe in that defensive front when you maybe not know exactly where the offense is going to go playing and play out, but when they're down, a team's going to try to speed things up and probably go to the pass. And when you have an opposing offense that's in that mindset and you have the guys up front that can hunt the way that they have and an offensive line that was kind of being exposed over the last couple of weeks, I think you can make that decision that way. You touched on Carson Beck and how much they really didn't push the ball downfield. They didn't need to. Longest completion of the game, and this one was 16 yards.
You know what his average
pass? That was
pass,
to a running back.
I think his average pass yardage.
What was it, 6?
5.4 or something like that.
They didn't need it. They didn't need it. Just kind of death by a thousand cuts type of vibes as far as where the numbers go.
But he led them.
He did.
He did lead them.
They were efficient enough with the run game. He had 7 carries himself in the game. We mentioned the big 3rd and 3. So they had just enough punch offensively to keep Ohio State offense, and they made timely plays when they needed to. And then the first touchdown, he kind of fakes that run, and they guys kind of bite on it to a certain degree. Sonny Styles can't get out to Fletcher there. It was a good design because the defense is seeing a heavy look for Miami, right? I think there's a couple tight ends there.
It
was a good play call, right? Beck takes a couple steps towards the line of scrimmage. Fletcher comes out of the backfield, and you're off and running up 7-0.
Yeah, I mean, that's his assignment. He's got to know, but you're right. They baited him in there. And listen, Arvell Reese had a chance to get to Beck early. They blocked for a half a second long enough that he could release the football. And so they never really affected him. And part of that was Miami's game plan to not let them affect him. And that's why I said in the beginning of the show, in the opening, that the tough pill to swallow for Ohio State would have been that to take a step back with that offense and run a similar offense to neutralize Bane and Mesidor, neutralize that front for Miami with some quick hitters. Here's Ryan Day on the layoff and being the team in waiting and how it impacted.
Well, I felt like it took us a while to get into the rhythm of the game. I thought we did coming out of the second half. And by then, it was going to take a very, very efficient second half to win the game. Being down 14-0, but I felt like at that point we got into a rhythm, and when we had that drive there, where we took a shot, it was incomplete, and the next play was a hold that got us way behind the chains, and that was the drive that we needed to go win the game. And when you have a start the way that we did, you put yourself at risk of having to be really, darn near perfect in the second half to go win a game. So we put ourselves behind the eight ball. We worked really hard during the last 3 weeks leading up to this game to come out of the gates and win the first quarter, win the first half, be ready to go. I thought we had an excellent plan on that and what we did. I think the guys bought into it, but at the end of the day, we didn't get it done. And that starts with me, and it goes down from there. So I take responsibility for not getting the guys ready, we spent an inordinate amount of time putting the plan together to get everybody ready to go play in that first half, and we didn't win the first half. So, we got to figure out why that was and learn from it moving forward.
So in a weird way, you kind of did early in my mind because you forced the turnover because Pierce caused the turnover. He punched it out from Fletcher. Miami was in field goal range. Like, you were... Because we talk about this all the time, win the turnover battle, win the game.
Yeah.
And they got the first big one, like I felt like. And then, when they hit the big one to JJ, they got him all the way down to the 16, and then they give up a sack. So he's right in that they felt like they were always kind of chasing the first half, but they did honestly get the first big play.
They did. It's just, I think, AR, it's tough mentally when you go into the locker room as an offense with no points. And then the missed field goal right before the half two. I think that can weigh on maybe a team just a little bit. I saw it floating around last night that was the first time Ohio State's been shut out in the first half since 2016. And so that's why you just got to give credit to Miami and what they were able to do, because Ohio State just left way too much meat on the bone, and they did it in two, hat and t-shirt games, right? Over the last couple of weeks or last few weeks between Indiana and Miami. And you cannot have those things because teams like that are too good at this point in the season, and they're going to take advantage of it.
It was weird because it just seemed like you know, Miami just had their number last night in so many ways. Like, even when Cristobal, and I mentioned this earlier, Miami takes that shot at the end of the half. Like, they let Ohio State keep their last time out with a minute 44. Like, he didn't run a play there to at least make Ohio State burn a timeout. And they still got away with it.
You know, like, what else I kind of...
It's crazy.
It is crazy. And, you know, what Wes Alston here in a few minutes at the top of the hour, I thought maybe they could have hit the gas a little bit more on offense, too. Like, tempo this year has been a thing, right?
They started out with a little bit of tempo last night.
I just keep going, though. Like, I would keep going, because that's how you can be aggressive in another way. It doesn't have to be the big shots downfield. It can be, hey, let's speed this thing up just a little bit. And I felt like there was areas in the game to where they should have hit the gas pedal a little bit more.
Yeah, it's weird, because I think the one thing that Buckeye fan is probably clamoring for was, you know, taking some more shots, like giving your NFL-type receivers a little more of a chance.
You
got to roll them, or you got to do something to create a little bit of that. And you know what keeps that alive is what Beck did. Like, if Julian does that a couple times, and I'm not talking about him trucking IGB and Roker. Like, I mean, but if he just can keep the chains moving, then that tempo works more.
I don't think he's wired that way. He hasn't had to been this guy his whole life.
To give him some credit, did you see some of the plays he completed under pressure?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there were some where guys were draped all over him, and he got the ball out. But he was under dress all game, it felt like. All right, we'll take a break. Top of the hour, we'll bring in our guy Austin Ward. So he'll be live coming back from Dallas, and we'll get his opinion on the 3.5 weeks and what went wrong for Ohio State. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on the Buckeye Show. New special guests in everything Scarlet and Gray, the Fan.
There was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Hey, Max, you look absolutely dashing in that purple tie. Ready to harness the world?
You bet, Daisy. I'm ready as I'll ever be. And might I say, your purple tie really pops with your vest.
Thanks. I almost went with a cape, but didn't want to come across as pretentious.
Nonsense. Anyone in our line of work should rock a cape.
You might be onto something, Max.
Phew. So, here we go. First day on the job. You've got this, right?
Right. Don't forget, we both graduated from Dogs, Inc. with honors.
Which means I can guide my human around a busy city with ease.
And I can give my human a restful night.
I hope my human is kind and loving.
And I hope mine likes wet kisses and zoomies.
Ready to make a difference?
Born ready. Let's go.
Discover how extraordinary dogs like Daisy and Max change lives at no cost to the recipients. Visit dogsinc.org.
People don't realize that glaucoma is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Because there are often no early symptoms, nearly half of those with glaucoma may not even know they have it until vision loss has occurred.
I was diagnosed with normal tension glaucoma in July of 2020. And what we found out at that point was I had already lost 40% of my sight. And you think it only affects people that are, you know, 75 or older, retired, grandparents. And that's not the reality of it.
I didn't think at all glaucoma was going to affect me because I didn't know of anyone that had glaucoma, no one in my family. When you have glaucoma, you can't get back that sight that you lost. And so early detection and treatment is vitally, vitally important.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments. Schedule an eye exam today.
National Glaucoma Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Learn how to protect your sight at stopglaucoma.org.
Planning to buy a home and...
the hardest day, the day you hear,
"This is a type of blood cancer."
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Ryan Baker. Even though the Ohio State season has come to an end, the college football season continues. Three CFP games on the slate today, currently in the Orange Bowl. They're in the middle of the second quarter. Oregon has a 3-0 lead over Texas Tech. Indiana takes on Alabama in the Rose Bowl at 4. The Nightcap sees Ole Miss and Georgia rematch in the Sugar Bowl at 8. The Buckeyes finished the year 12-2 after losing to Miami 24-14 in the Cotton Bowl last night. Immediately after that game, tight end Jelani Thurman announced that he will enter the transfer portal tomorrow. This morning, quarterbacks Lincoln Keenholz and Mason Maggs said they will as well. Ohio State is expected to hire LSU wide receivers coach Cortez Hankin to replace Brian Hartline. Michigan is hiring Utah offensive coordinator Jason Beck to the same position, and BYU's Jay Hill is their new defensive coordinator.
Maddie promises he'll continue to do the show even if he wins the lottery. If only we believed him. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, second hour. Happy New Year, everyone. Thanks for spending your time with us. One eye on the games, one ear with us. We appreciate it. Austin Ward, all over it last night. Heard him in the presser as well. He's our guy here from The Fan, Letterman Row as well, and 10 TV. And really nice enough to jump on here. Are you, where are you? Are you home yet? Not home yet? What's going on?
No, so you guys have one eye on the game. I have two eyes on, Interstate 35 heading south, getting out of Dallas and Fort Worth after the last few days there. Allie and Liberty are still down in Green, Texas with my folks. So I'm heading back to meet them and spend one more or two more nights, I guess, here in the hill country of Texas to celebrate the holidays belatedly with them before I head home to you guys in the great state of Ohio. So it's been an interesting few days for sure. And now after spending New Year's Eve watching Ohio State's offense collapse, I'm spending New Year's Day on the highway.
All right. Well, good for you. I'm glad you're getting a few extra days out of it, and be safe. All right, so let's go to right where you took us, the collapse. So what is that on? Is it as simple to say that they weren't prepared for what Miami was going to bring up front, that, or they didn't have the personnel to combat it, or door number two, that the whole Ryan Day, Brian Hartline, like tap dance that we had to go through here on maybe that made everything disjointed, or door number three, did Julian Sain play timid last night? Like he's been put under pressure in the last couple of games that he hadn't seen all season, and maybe that impacted his processing and being willing to take chances.
I think, Anthony, all of those doors are open, and you can go in and out all of them down this hallway for what happened, and that's because it was not just one thing that happened. This goes back to, I think, you know, when we had the conversation on a lot of Tuesdays about Ryan Day saying, well, when it's time to push the gas, we will, and he's playing at this methodical pace for a reason, and it's to save everything up for the playoff. You know, I look at the way that this offense was built, and it goes back through the entire year. And since Brian Hartline's promotion, and this is not retroactive finger pointing or anything, this did not look like a fully formed, coherent plan for Ohio State offensively, at least not as we've come to know under Ryan Day. They have too much firepower to play as conservatively as they have. And, you know, we can take each of those things individually. Julian Sain against Indiana, and certainly last night against Miami, when he faced pressure, he frankly did not handle it very well. And sometimes we expect the microwave results, and he went to New York as a Heisman Trophy finalist, and everything is going to be easy. I'm trying to keep in mind the perspective that was still, you know, game 13 and game 14 for him as a first-time starter, and that he's going to have to learn from that. But one thing that Ryan Day had said about Julian Sain throughout this year was that he wouldn't make the same mistake twice, and he learned from them. But last night was not any different than really what happened at Lucas Oil Stadium. So, you know, he was under even more pressure from Miami, and it didn't have to come from a lot of movement or stunts or extra blitzes or anything. And that takes us to yet another door where Ohio State in-game, I think, has been too slow to make adjustments. And that's not just with the way that they're attacking teams where, you know, whether it was tempo, whether that was RPO or anything else, I'm not going to second-guess play calling that. These guys are paid a lot of money and know a lot more football. It seems like those were all the ideas that were floated throughout December that could neutralize Miami's pass rush. But beyond that, it was too slow with personnel. It was another carryover from Tegra Shibola's struggles against Indiana in the Big Ten Championship game. Gabe Van Sickle, was clearly overwhelmed from the start. And once you got Josh Padilla in there, things kind of settled a little bit. They still had to adapt on the fly with Austin Cervell going out. But, I think you and I and Maddie could talk about the offense for the entirety of the show because there's so many things that went wrong. We're just really even scratching the surface with those three doors.
No question, man. And look, we all know, Austin, the game will never change. Like, it's one down there in the trenches, right? And unfortunately, two games in a row here, Indiana and Miami have been able to be more consistent up front. Let's flip it to the defensive side of things, because we've been talking about Carson Beck and some of the timely runs that he had and throws that he had as well. Looking at the defense, yep, and what they were able to do or not able to do, like, what stuck with you with the defensive side of the ball and how that looked through your lens?
Yeah, I have a difficult time assigning much blame to the silver bullets, if I'm being honest, but there were certainly, they did not make as many plays as they needed to win. I think Ohio State should expect, if Matt Patricia's group gives up 17 points, that should be good enough to win a college football playoff game or any game that the Buckeyes play. Now, certainly that wasn't true against Indiana and wound up not being true against Miami as well, but, Mark Fletcher's a really good back, and Carson Beck is a savvy quarterback who, his answer to the pressure when he was faced with it was to scramble. That was not Julian Sain took sacks and didn't get the football out of his hands. And I think you did see the difference between someone who has played and won now 36 college football games compared to someone who was playing his 14th. So I was critical of Carson Beck and the turnovers coming in, but especially that 3rd and 11, he's like, all right, go make a play and run. That's up to, Arvell Reese and Tony Styles or Kenyatta Jackson, or Caden Curry to run him down and make those plays. And they didn't last night. So they're going to – they certainly own that. They were in the breakout media room late last night talking about how they did not do enough to win the game and that they put that on their shoulders. I'm not going to heap all that onto them. I think that they you look at that performance, that should have been good enough for Ohio State to win. Could they have gotten off the field on a couple other third downs, both in coverage or against the runs and the scrambles? Yes, without question. But Miami was – no, this was a game that – 2 months ago was hailed as a potential national championship matchup. Ohio State got shocked by a 6-6 team or something like that. They were going to make plays, and I think that Ohio State did enough defensively to win that game. But to me, it's more breakdowns on special teams, a missed field goal, and then the just absolutely unacceptable penalty on formation that cost them 20 yards to set up that drive. On top of the offensive things that we've already discussed, I'm not going to stress that much about what the silver bullets did last night.
Austin Ward with us talking Buckeyes and Hurricanes. This is a tough one to answer. I don't know if you'd know. I don't even know if the coaches would know on whether they lost their edge or they just met their match.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. The way that this is set up, they thought that they had a good plan, and there were people, Anthony, talking on, Saturday of last week and around the holidays about how they had got back to the kind of physical practices, like bordering on chippy and fist fights again that were the hallmark of an August in a training camp, and that they didn't think that there was any lack of competitiveness from this team. And, I didn't really feel like that was the issue last night either. Miami is a good team, and I thought that a lot of times when we look at this, I don't think it was a matter of Ohio State going soft throughout the month of December or that the schedule wasn't set up in a way for them to build success. It is a long layoff. We have seen a lot of teams, continue to win that first round game and carry that momentum over. Maybe there is something more to that than I had given credence to. I thought Ohio State would just be the better team on New Year's Eve, and they were not. But I think it was, when you had that length of time, I just expected a a better plan of attack, a better game plan. Ryan Day being involved in the play calling and putting that on his shoulders, I thought we would see adjustments that worked. I didn't think that dialing up the screen in the red zone was going to be the solution that he came up with. And that's, I know, hindsight being 2020, but I think it was more about the schematic preparation rather than the physical execution.
Hey, I want to hit you up on this. There's news out there that it sounds like maybe Coach Day has found his new wide receiver coach and Cortez Hankton. Hit us with your thoughts on that. And also, A-Dub, going into the offseason, is he going to hire an offensive coordinator? And I know there's some people that may be questioning why that wouldn't be Chip. Well, not now, obviously, but why won't it be Chip Kelly? Because he's at Northwestern. But what's your understanding of that? Why that didn't happen, maybe?
Yeah, a lot of moving pieces there, and still trying to figure out exactly how that would work with accountable full-time coaches, because there is very much an expectation of Ohio State needing and wanting to go out and get a head coach of the offense to take that part off of Ryan Day's plate again. He needs to be in that CEO role, and I think that I understand why they went with the promotion of Brian Hartline last year. I don't know that it worked as well as anybody wanted, but dating back to, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, was told that Ohio State really didn't want to revisit and would not pursue Chip Kelly as coordinator. Why the exact motivation is for that, I'll be honest with you. I was just told that they weren't going to go down that road, and I didn't ask a follow-up because it just seemed like that was the open and shut matter from Ohio State's perspective. That could be any number of reasons, including just, you know, 1 year being there, or, you know, I'm not in those decisions in that room. So that was just what I was told, and I know that they moved on from him. Cortez Hankton was one of the first targets to emerge as a potential wide receivers coach. Does that mean that he's the only one, that he's doing that full-time as an on-the-road recruiter? That would impact the entire staff alignment and what you could or could not do in terms of pursuing an offensive coordinator. This was, you know, the college football playoff was supposed to be an audition for guys like Keenan Bailey and Tyler Bowen and Billy Fessler, and that got really short-circuited, and I don't know how there would be enough evidence coming out of Indiana or Miami now to say that that's a way that that's a road that Ryan Day could comfortably go down with a coordinator. You know, thinking back to 2 years ago, that was Bill O'Brien and Chip Kelly. Those were much bigger swings and established veteran play callers and people with head coaching experience. I certainly feel like that's the way that Ryan Day is going to have to go now.
Well done, my man. Happy New Year to you, Allie, the family. We appreciate you all season long. You do such an exceptional job for all of us. And just have a wonderful start to the year, and you know we'll see you soon.
All right, you guys are too kind. Have a happy New Year. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks. Our friend Austin Ward, 97.1 The Fan here in 10 TV. All right, we will come back, and we'll update a poll that TLC put out earlier today about defining this season versus last season. Will that be as dominating as perhaps the trenches were last night? Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
Men, it's the new...
are the keepers of the wild. America's original and most invested conservationists. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving wildlife and the natural landscapes that define our nation. From rugged alpine ridgelines to peaceful tall grass prairies, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. Our funding has led to cleaner water, fresher air, and improved wildlife habitat. From abundant fish and waterfowl populations to robust deer and elk herds, nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters, stewards of the American outdoors.
America's hunters and target shooters, along with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, have invested more than $46 billion to help state fish and wildlife agencies manage and protect wildlife and wildlands across America. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Some journeys start small, with small paws and big purpose.
Look how cute you are, you sweet girl.
Every great partnership begins with the first step.
Let's go.
Guiding them through the world so one day they can guide someone through life. With shared experience, confidence grows and the path becomes clear. It takes time, patience,
and love. But the reward lasts a lifetime.
Like a girl, Bella.
You don't just raise a puppy. You raise a future. Become a Dog's Ink puppy raiser. Give a dog a purpose. Give someone hope.
Learn more at dogsinc.org.
Morning Juice is now on YouTube, weekday morning starting at 6. If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate. If you're a fan of Jeff Dunoff, drive directly to a hospital. Seriously, The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Probably the mostly cloudy skies are expected here for your New Year's Day with high temperatures into the 20s here this afternoon. We are looking at the chance for a few flurries, but otherwise pretty quiet conditions here for today. And then more sunshine for tomorrow with high temperatures back to the lower 30s. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The best teams don't always win titles. Sounds like AR and Maddie bragging about their fantasy teams.
Hey, that's cheating.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Yeah, they have two really good edge rushers. So, you know, we knew we were going to get the ball out of our hand quick. And, you know, there was times today where I held on to the football and, you know, we were able to, they were able to get after me and, you know, get some sacks.
Listen, he was up against it. That's Julian Sain. 22 of 35. He averaged 8.2 yards. And Carson Beck was 5.3. So, but his QBR was 70.4. I know he gets tabbed with that last pick, which didn't really matter. In fact, if you're Miami, you did an exceptional coaching job, like 99.9%. Cristobal wins, except for one play, coaching your team at the end of the game to slide down and not score. Like, that's the only thing he needed to tell his team. Sure. We are winning this game at the 1 yard line with a knee, not kicking it off up 10 or whatever. Like,
no doubt.
But not that it was going to matter.
Right.
You just didn't want to give Ohio State the ball, and then an onside kick, and then, you know what I'm saying.
Just take control. Take all the control you can.
But I hear you. I understand when a guy doesn't believe he's going to be allowed to score, and then that moment. But that's why you have to coach it into them, saying, hey, if anybody breaks the level there, you're going to sit down.
Yeah.
But Julian Sain is an exceptional talent. He's going to be, when he's clean, and look, we saw him throw on the run this year. We saw he was the X factor coming into the season for Ohio State and their ability to win a title. Obviously, you're always going to put it on the offensive line. And I think last year, certainly the X factor was, could Ohio State, you know, get past their injuries on the offensive line? Didn't look like it was going to happen. Looked like it was going to be the downfall last year.
Man, Donovan Jackson slides out the left tackle.
I mean, right.
He's a first round pick for you guys, right? I mean, just that type of development from him and Coach Fry last year. I mean, it was a great job that they did, right? I mean, you lose Josh Simmons. He was a first-round pick. Seth McLaughlin wins the Remington Trophy. Yeah. You lose him due to an injury. It was a massive question mark, and you didn't have to worry about it after watching that Tennessee game the rest of the way. And then there was some thought that, hey, they did it last year. They can do it again. And that's not usually how it works in sports. And just sometimes the guys lining up opposite you are just better, and that was just the case the last two contests for Ohio State.
Well, they certainly were more physical where it counted. And if you watched that entire game, and I'm sure you did, Miami was feeling it. It was half wrestling, half football. Like, they were on it. And they made Ohio State feel it. They made Bo Jackson feel it, trying to pick up a blitz. Mm-hmm. They made Carnell Tate feel it, short-arming a pass over the middle. Like, they made them pay. And it put Sain a little bit on tilt because, you know, late in that second quarter, there's a top view going around where Tate's wide open down the middle. Sain's rolling left. He has time. He could let that fly, and he doesn't. Whether he doesn't see him, doesn't want to throw it, I don't know. But he was not processing the same based on the pressure he was receiving. I mentioned the same thing during the Indiana game when Jones is blitzing from the far left side, and Jeremiah is behind him on the left, and usually a quarterback will see where the blitz is coming from, and he's going to slide that, you know, when that blitzer comes, that vacates that spot, and there's Jeremiah. What did Sane do against Indiana? He busted his butt out the right side. And Jones wound up tracking him down. But he did not. He was much better when he was not under pressure. Guess what? Newsflash. Most quarterbacks are.
Yeah, that's just
and
the
reason that Cristobal didn't put Beck in horrible positions where, now he did take some heat.
Yeah.
But he got out of it a little bit. He didn't make that. By the way, he also didn't make the drastic mistake when Ohio State did pressure him, which you were hoping he would. So the poll that the TLC put out, I think, is a very interesting one because it's something that I brought up in the very beginning of the year when I said, is this season more about repeating as champs or flipping the script on your rival? I remember that one. I don't remember the results of that one, but I think it leaned. What do you guys remember from that one? Do you think it leaned more towards people were more into repeating or
more
beating Michigan?
I think it was the Michigan at that point.
I think it was Michigan at that point.
I want to say this real quick because it's why it's on my brain. You know my brain, how it works. There's just too much stuff going on. We mentioned Will earlier. And when you have a quarterback like Will in a game like the game that we watched yesterday against a defensive front like that, the threat of the quarterback run can keep them honest, right? And I don't know if they thought in their mind at all that Julian was, one, going to get any design runs, and then two, was ever going to get away from them if they had pressure. So I think Bain, Messidor, that crew came into the game knowing that we can get downhill all day long. When you just have even that threat of quarterback keeping the ball, that can pause things just a little bit for the defensive line. So I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. And look, that's no knock on Julian. He has one of the best traits you can have as a quarterback, and that's elite arm talent with elite accuracy. But it just applies even more pressure to your offensive line to hold up. That way his skill set, his best skill set, can shine through.
I'm with you. He's a young talent, and no one wants to trade him away. It was proven in the last couple of games that either the coaching staff needed to help him more with different play calls, similar calls that Miami threw out there last night for Beck, but we didn't look at Beck the same way we looked at Julian. We didn't. And it's weird because I didn't think Beck was that big of a runner, but he was more than willing to do it.
Just enough.
And to get that first down, running over two Ohio State guys, like, that told me something. He didn't slide. He went forward.
Yeah.
And he made big enough plays.
And that's also knowing when you're Carson Beck that I'm 6'4", 225, right? Like, I can deliver a blow.
I did find one poll from back in the time.
Okay. Oh, man.
But this isn't...
Uh-oh, what?
I was about to read it.
Oh, you found which one? The same one?
Same one.
I found a different one.
I know. I found a different one, too.
I found one from mid-October.
Yeah, that's the exact one.
All right, go ahead, buddy. You read it.
All right, well, hey, Ice hasn't seen it, so we can let him guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So OSU is probably 6-0. Not to do it. Perhaps 7-0 at this point in the season.
Well, let's take a look. We can identify that.
Okay,
I see what you guys just did there.
No, I'm serious, though, because it's October 21st, so you think maybe four games by the end of September.
That's when that poll was out?
Yeah.
It says October 15th here.
I'm seeing October 21st.
Okay.
So a week later?
The poll that I'm looking at...
So it's either right after the Illinois game or after the Wisconsin game. You said, they're either 6-0 or 7-0.
Okay. Correct. Okay. No joke intended, but just genuinely.
Yep.
The poll was, at this point in the season, do you now view this season as championship or bust?
Oh, this is a different poll.
Yes, so a whole new poll.
Yeah.
Okay. Polls.
So many polls.
So this was, again...
So little time.
They are at least halfway through the season, unblemished.
Yeah.
The question, right here, right now, has the season become championship or bust? What do you think the results were?
So they got the Texas win in the bag. Had they played Illinois at that point?
Yes.
We're going to say yes.
I'm going to say the...
Remember, yes. Illinois got thrashed by...
By who?
IU.
Mm-hmm, them Hoosiers. I'm going to say the answer was yes. Yes.
What percentage?
I'm going to go 60-40?
62-38.
Okay.
You nailed it.
All right, here's another one. I said, which team is the biggest threat to Ohio State going undefeated?
That's right.
And the choices were Penn State, Michigan, Indiana, or no threat. There's no legit threat.
When did we release that
poll? That was mid-October. I guess I did one either right before that one.
Mm.
So that was October 15th.
I'm going to guess the winner of that one, AR, it couldn't have been Penn State. The collapse for Penn State didn't happen at that point. So maybe it was them? It's Michigan? It was Michigan.
Well, the collapse for Penn State when they lost to Oregon in week four in double overtime, you wouldn't look at that as a collapse. It was a real missed opportunity.
But yet,
then they lost
to
UCLA and Northwestern. So they were toast.
Okay.
So you're right to say that eliminate Penn State, because you're right. They were 1.4%.
It had to be Michigan then.
It was Michigan.
Okay.
They viewed Michigan as a much bigger threat than Indiana in mid-October.
Okay.
And we have a poll today that you can hear on the other side.
2 minutes.
Yeah, and I'll try to find the other poll that we can spin around on next. We'll have another poll in just a minute. Rothman and
34.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony's hidden talent is weaving a movie quote into every conversation. It's mostly not annoying. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, revisiting the polls that we had put out earlier in the season. I actually do like revisiting these because of your mindset. So this was one that was put out in August before the season. And I wrote, what is this Buckeye season more about for you?
Okay, yeah, I remember this.
And the choices were repeat as champs or end the streak to that team up north. That's it. Two choices. And you had to answer this in August.
I think it's the ending the streak in a landslide. I think that had to be 80-20 in favor of the rivalry.
TLC, you got a vote on that?
Say one more time.
On who what the favorite or what the results were here. What is this Buckeye season more about to you?
Michigan.
Repeating as champs or ending the streak to Michigan?
Ending the streak to Michigan at the time would have been a landslide, I think.
I went 80-20.
I would have gone, man, so I don't want to get too crazy to say like 90-10, but I kind of want to beat, I'm going to Price is Right this thing, 81-19.
So you're saying that the Buckeye fan base,
at the time,
our great Buckeye fan base that listens to us, at the time would be willing to like sacrifice repeating as champs just to beat Michigan, ironically is what happened.
Well, something the program has never done, right? Going back to back, right?
No,
well, never.
When you have the championship, it's easier to feel that way.
There were people after winning the Natty that were still caught up in the game against Michigan.
It was a little hollow.
So,
I told you it was that red L, embossed L on all the commemorative stuff you'd buy.
Yeah.
Like if you bought something that had a schedule on it, it still said Michigan L.
Yeah.
Like that's not like
to remove that game from the schedule on the back of your t-shirt.
Or buy something championship worthy that just had the schedule not on it. Yeah. Or just had the playoff on it.
Because
the playoff run was so strong.
Yeah, it was.
I think that you could probably not dismiss it, but people were more than willing to give them a get out of jail free card with the, oh, by the way, no pun intended there, with Michigan on the streak. So where do you feel?
I mean, excellent. you may be
you
right.
You said 80-20.
He may be right.
He
to maybe
may
lean a little bit more.
This may be a lunatic you're looking for.
Remind me of the date.
What is that, bro?
It was an old song lyric.
Okay.
That
sounded like some bars.
I wanted to see if you guys got, I'm glad you half caught, which is good. Go ahead.
I think you go 90-10, TLC.
Can you remind me of the date, the specific date that this was?
Yeah, so it was August 12th of 2025.
Okay, so heading right into the season.
Yeah.
Dude, when Buckeye fans had the national championship in their back pocket, that almost felt like the conversation around that was, it was so heavily skewed towards Michigan because you already had the championship. And so, in a way, you weren't chasing it because you are the reigning champs. Nobody else was, but Michigan still had that on you, which I think is kind of a twisted way to look at it, but that's how Buckeye fans predominantly looked at it. So I think at the time, because college football fans are really, really good at reacting to what's right in front of them, and we can spin the exact same poll now that we know the exact outcome of it, now that it's flipped, now that Michigan is a win for the Buckeyes, but they lost in the quarterfinals, so we'll reveal that in a minute. At the time, preseason, Michigan was such a heavy talking point. I think it's going to be even more of a landslide. Like I said, just for the gamesmanship of the poll, I'll go 81-19 just because you went 80-20.
Okay, what were the results, AR?
So you're both correct. You picked the right answer.
Ooh.
The majority was ending the streak to Michigan was more about what this season was about for people than repeating in this poll. But you're wrong on the percentages.
We're high.
You're high.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I bet you would, Panama Red. 62.5% to 37.5%.
All right, that's better than what I thought.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That there were still almost 40% that said, no, I want to be the last team standing.
Give me the ring.
Yeah. Yes. All right.
Now those people have foresight. Good for them.
Now, this is interesting because this was in August.
Yes.
And you put out one today with basically was the same question.
Yes.
Now that we know the results.
Correct. So we planned this at 11. I'm seeing we tweeted this at 11:04. So we planned this at around 11 a.m. It says, I'm reading exactly off the tweet. Which Buckeye football season left you more satisfied? 2024, Michigan L plus national title. 2025, Michigan W plus quarterfinal exit. At the time of that we tweeted the poll, what were your initial feelings of what the results would be? And we're cherry picking because we are doing it the day after the exit.
Correct. So you have the results. So you have two thoughts here. They're either going to lean in to what helps them get past this, which is the Michigan game. Mm-hmm. Like because you already know you lost. The empty feeling, this hollow feeling the Buckeye fan has today, there are a couple ways to go. You can either help yourself by saying, nope, I'm good. This season was about flipping the rivalry. We did that. I'm leaning into it. And there's other people that would lean into their depression about the loss and say, no, this feels awful. But you cannot pick yourself up and take yourself into an out-of-body experience. Like, what if you would have lost to Michigan again this year? Like, I don't... So I'm going to say my gut feeling is that they're going to lean into what makes them feel better, which is that you flip the rivalry and you're taking a lot of consolation also in the implosion at Michigan and what happened with the coaching staff, even though they do have Whittingham and they seem to have rescued, at least on paper. I'm going to lean into that. That was my gut that it was more about.
So you think folks feel better about this season than last season? Because that's what we're asking.
The question
right,
was, oh, yeah, which,
that's true. That is
which
what he's
Buckeye
asking.
Football season left you more satisfied? 2024, 2025.
All right. So
I hope it's 2024.
By the way, same thing. Instant satisfaction would be to help yourself by saying no.
Right.
We're the champs. That was much better than.
Yeah.
Because you're coming off. You're not far removed from this loss.
That's true. My hope is that 2024 ran away with
Maddie's
this thing.
Right that it's got to be more about you won the national title last year than just beating Michigan and losing in a Big Ten championship game to Indiana. And then coming back as a 9.5-point favorite against Miami and losing that, I don't think there's anything that I mean, I know the Michigan win was huge, and it always will be. But
absolutely.
I agree with you. I think he's in that camp of it has to be last year.
2024, 91-9.
Wow,
That makes me feel
which is good.
That makes me feel good.
But I will say this. I think if I phrased this slightly differently, I could have adjusted the numbers at least a smidge.
How?
If I included, so when I put 2020, and I gave like a brief description, as I said, for 2024, Michigan L plus national title, 2025, Michigan W plus quarterfinal exit. If I put in 2025, Michigan W plus Sherrone Moore situation plus quarterfinal exit.
Yeah, that's true.
If I added that, just to take one little dig at Michigan.
Oh, if he added my Sharona to the whole thing.
Goodness gracious.
If I did that, if I threw a quick elbow at Michigan, I'm not saying that it's 50-50. I don't think it's 91-9. I think I could have bumped that by at least 10 points. I think I could have got to 75-25.
Ballot box. You could have if you added that. I don't know if that.
I think it takes it down to 75-25.
Ooh, I don't know
you're
if it goes
upping that thing
much.
15% by adding my Sharona?
I'm saying throwing in a jab at Sherrone Moore and the not just the fact that you beat Michigan.
Was pretty satisfying for a lot of people.
Which, by the way, is not Ohio State's doing, but it's something satisfactory for Ohio State fans that took place in the 2025 season is the Michigan embarrassment. So you don't necessarily get credit for that, but that is something that is in the story of that's the biggest story of 2025 almost. And so if I threw that in there and just put those words in the tweet, plus Sherrone Moore, plus quarterfinal exit, I don't even think people would have read quarterfinal exit. I think they would just read Sherrone Moore. I think I would have shifted that poll by 15 points.
Oh, man. I think you get a shift. I don't know if it's that much, Big Dog. I really don't. I think he gets a little shift, AR, but by 15?
Because
not over a natty, man.
Yeah. All I brought in was wins and losses. If I snuck in a little dig at Sherrone Moore, I think I would have
So timing is everything. I think if they didn't have a coach right now and they were still looking and here comes the portal, I think you may have gotten the 15 bump. Couple of beers, little bump.
I think you would have gotten a little bump.
An interesting night.
But I don't believe.
He's a mess.
I don't believe.
15 beers and a little bump.
I don't believe you would have.
Shane Gillis on Saturday Night Live.
Good catch. See you, Lisa.
There we go.
You got it.
I don't know anything about this Shane Gillis guy.
Very nice.
I don't know anything about. I see him in like the Bud Light commercials. Like,
well, he hosted the ESPYs.
I know he's really, really popular. I just haven't really locked into any of his specials. I need to do that because I'm hearing his name so much. I needed to just really get in on that.
I think if you do this. I don't think it has the same effect now that they have Whittingham. And I think if this was played off the timing of that they were still a mess and scrambling and here come the feds and investigation. But now they feel like they've got a respectable guy.
A grown up.
Start running a respectable business. Yeah. I don't want to come here and hassle you no more.
And you see, I saw him in that Michigan hat and I was like, okay. It kind of just feels like
old school.
They got it.
Yeah.
They got it right. What ceiling do they have with him? I don't know. He's bringing it. It was announced today. His offensive coordinator at Utah is coming with him to Ann Arbor. And they lost yesterday. Pretty entertaining game, too. That game was pretty wild against Texas. But
Utah didn't lose.
No.
They took Nebraska behind the woodshed.
Yeah, they did. BTA on them.
Michigan looked like they even gave up. Like they're down two scores with like 2 minutes to go and they're running the ball. Like, it just...
Yeah. You got to...
They milked the last ounce of football they could have out of this season. I don't even know. Like, even Texas guys were in the portal. It was an oddly entertaining game for a game where you thought both teams really didn't want to be there.
Did you see what Arch said, too? Somebody in the postgame presser asked him, like, hey, you know, your Uncle Peyton won 2 Citrus Bowl MVPs, and now you have one. And so how do you feel about that? And he goes... Well, no disrespect to the Citrus Bowl. I hope I'm not here next year.
Yeah. It's also a trap because he's not his uncle's, but he's not a bust. Like, I don't think anyone, like, I think when he played Ohio State, people were like tabbing him as a bust. And I was like, he's not a bust. But
the offseason glazing was at an all-time high, though.
And that's why people are calling him that, because the only comparison he has is what everyone else is doing to him, which is, you got to be Eli or Peyton.
Yeah. Look, he's got a whole nother year, whole nother lap around
the
track.
Who was that guy that asked that question? I got to find that.
All right, cook that up.
What about the Citrus Bowl?
No. Who was the guy that asked the question in the press conference? Hey, you know, Ryan Day, you coached against his uncles in the NFL. Does that help you scout with Arch Manning and your game plan against them?
That was unbelievable.
And he tried so hard to give a polite answer, but at some point he's just like, yeah, that has nothing to do with that.
Yes, I've never devised a game plan against DNA. All right, we're going to come back with a Buckeye Bulletin and the replacement for Brian Hartline. Who is he? And will it happen? Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one? Yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Getting the call.
What hope is? Hope is action. Carving a path forward, even when it's hard.
And kids who still know how to dream. They're the best pathfinders of all.
So at Child Fund, hope means helping millions of children living in poverty worldwide to grow up healthy, educated, skilled, and so all those good things can come true for them. Safe.
And that means safe at home, safe at school, and safe online.
Hope means walking this path together, all of us. Because when we work together, we can do so much more.
That's right. Hope includes you.
Child Fund, because we need each other.
To learn how Child Fund works with children in 23 countries to help them achieve their full potential, visit childfund.org. That's childfund.org.
It all connects. The girl who walks for hours to bring home the family's water, the school she can't attend most days, her little brother's belly laugh. Her dreams of being a teacher, an engineer, the mayor. It all connects. But at Child Fund, so do we, through everything we do, so every child can grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Because we need each other. Learn more at childfund.org.
Hey folks, it's...
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment?
What would it take to fund a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research.
Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Wounded Warrior Project helps post 9/11 veterans and their families realize what's possible with support and resources that bring warriors together and empower them to become stronger, both inside and out.
It's possible to begin healing,
to get the help you need,
to find peace.
And as each warrior's needs evolve, so do we, because these last 20 years are just the beginning. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Love football, love wings. Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Bird live at Roosters.
Presented by Bryant Heating and Cooling.
Large amounts of football and all the ducky sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fan's YouTube channel.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Patriot Air Comfort Systems and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep your home comfortable. The Fan.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another furnace breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day furnace installation.
All right, Buckeye Bulletin time. We had mentioned this guy probably, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
We mentioned when Brian Hartline announced that he was leaving to go to South Florida, that, you know, what was going to happen. And so it looks like they're going to hire former LSU wide receivers coach and their co-OC, Cortez Hankton, to coach their receivers starting next year. So we still really don't know what's going to happen on calling plays and whether Ryan's going to take a step down from being the CEO and now get back in the mix, getting it back in the kitchen, Maddie.
I am very interested in what kind of Austin Ward told us earlier. And if you missed Austin's interview, you missed anything from our show, don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do from noon to 3. We'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the pod as well. Bet365 is the sponsor of our podcast. But he mentioned, AR, that wasn't really a thought to go back to that well. And the whole fit at Northwestern with Chip Kelly, that's odd to me in its own right. But that worked, obviously, last year. The relationship seemed to be good. And
you think Ohio State would have made him recruit a lot? Or be one of the guys like...
It's part of the gig, right?
Well, like, not for everybody.
You got to do... I would think you want...
How much did Jim Knowles or any of the... Like, I don't know.
I would think you... I would want my offensive coordinator to do
something. That's what I'm saying. Maybe Chip said, it's not for me.
It's just interesting to me, right? That there's an opening there for Coach Dane. We'll see if he even hires an offensive coordinator. Maybe he's like, I want to run
Chip
this whole thing.
Just wanted to go to Evanston and
it's crazy.
Call some plays and sit at Walker Brothers Pancake House and just kind of...
It's odd. Yeah. It is very odd for a program that doesn't seem like they're ready to compete much, but we'll see if that changes. But yeah, Cortez Hankton definitely seems like he is going to be the next guy to replace Hartline at the receiver position. You touched on his history at LSU.
You want to get his bio? You want a little more on his bio?
I think I know a little bit about it, but yeah, tell everybody.
Oh.
Tell everybody.
No, Maddie, tell us more.
The floor is yours.
Okay, yeah, I'll break it down for you.
Yeah.
Spend some time at Georgia, too.
Hey, check his screens real quick.
I'll show everybody right now. It's nothing but the prep sheet. That's all it is right there. Ooh. But I'm pretty sure that... Oh, gosh. That's almost
by the way, that was kind of an insult to the show and him, which was great, which was when you said nothing but the prep sheet, which isn't much. Like, it was like, let me show everybody this blank page I have. Just a couple of lines. There's nothing there.
This is actually mine.
Just our prep sheet.
This is actually mine.
Okay. Yeah.
not my prep sheet.
Actually mine. But no, I just think
I can see when you guys are in there, and I see zero MH or ARs in there right now.
That's
so
right.
It's just me reading my own notes.
No, AR, this thing on the top.
Something we always put at the top of the show prep.
Yeah. he made it. He was at Georgia for a little bit, too, right? I just think he was at Georgia for a little bit of time before LSU. That's really all I got. That was nothing crazy in depth.
He was their receivers coach from 18 to 21.
Okay.
Passing coordinator for the last 3 years of those. He did have a lot of dudes. Like, he had George Pickens.
Did he coach Ladd? Would McConkey be in that window too? Yeah, Ladd McConkey would be in that time frame as well. And then, so LSU, that's Brian Thomas. And a little bit before that is that, who else would have been there? Is that Neighbors?
Neighbors. Or Thomas. Yeah, okay. That's right.
Okay.
No, he didn't recruit Neighbors or Thomas. No, he didn't. He wouldn't have. Because
Interesting.
Okay.
Rothman, think about what ICE just tried to do.
He just wait a minute. Did you say coach or recruit?
Just coach. Oh, was there any crossover there with those two?
There may
two,
have been
Thomas
some crossing swords there, but I don't know about what the...
crossing streams?
He didn't recruit either one of those guys.
But he coached them up, right?
Hey. Oh, all right. Man. So here's the other deal.
There were no streams crossing.
Nine... That's the old trough.
We're off
the old trough at the game, right? You don't get your own urinal. You just get a trough.
We're at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, the old trough, Maddie.
Oh, which is the place I need to go to at some point, by the way.
Is that your bucket list, Wrigley?
Yeah.
I mean, number one venue?
San Francisco is number one.
Oh, really?
That ballpark's number one.
Okay,
I'm
not mad at it. Yeah. I got to get to San Diego and Wrigley. I want to do those for a baseball game, for sure. And Yankee Stadium. You got to experience that.
I'm actually more excited about Citi Field. I think Citi Field's really cool.
I'd be a little more into going to Fenway. I've not been there.
Well, that's a good call, too. Do that too. Yeah. And I think I would want to sit on the Green Monster. I want those seats for that game.
Oh, my God.
I think I want to do that.
I just kind of want to sit with James Earl Jones on the right.
We're going to find Moonlight Grail.
Exactly. That's what I want to do.
You scared of heights, TLC, when I mentioned that? Did you get a little?
Not terribly. My dad's like, my dad cannot drive over a bridge.
Oh,
like literally has to switch drivers. Like he's like that scared of heights.
Okay. And then what does he do when you're going over the bridge as the passenger?
I have no
idea. He closes his eyes and just
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
I'm not a big fan of it anymore.
I'm not.
I've driven across the Golden Gate Bridge out and I've done that.
Yeah.
Not great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. Heights never really have bothered me too much, but I can understand that for sure. But if I went to Fenway, I want to sit on the Green Monster. I want to sit up there. And get that view.
Above the Green Monster.
Yeah.
Not straddling the Green Monster.
No, that's not.
We're going to Minnesota to find Moonlight Graham.
That's what I want to do.
I do not want to.
Me, Kevin Costner,
the Green Monster.
James Earl Jones.
Oh, man.
You got to be back. We still think I got a girlfriend.
Now get the hell out of here.
Got them all.
Yeah.
Lined up. All right, so he was a 9-year NFL career receiver as a player. I don't remember him. Past four seasons, as we mentioned, at LSU. And we did talk about Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, who he helped develop. So
that's good, man. That's right. When you talk about the other...
Recruiting, though, here's the big one.
Yeah.
The big one is you're going from an elite, elite, elite recruiter in Heartline.
Here's the good news, though.
Yeah.
Because that's a good point, AR. It's... You secured a guy in Chris Henry Jr. without this hire being official yet, right? So I think that... leads me to believe that there's some guys around the country that believe in Coach Day and his system.
Get the bag.
And what he can do. And yeah, that's a part of it too. But he could have got a bag elsewhere, right? And he still said, I'm coming here to Columbus. And so when you can throw that out there to kids that, hey, I was around Brian Thomas Jr., McConkey, Pickens, that'll work. Because that's credibility. And these guys are watching these guys on Sundays play at a really high level. So yeah, he's got to come here and do it himself. It seems to me on the surface that this could be one of the better hires or, you know, in this cycle for Coach Day in the offseason, getting a guy that's had some success down in the SEC.
All right, coming up top of the hour, we'll stay with college football and specifically the Buckeyes to start with our friend Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com, who wrote up a great story about what went wrong for Ohio State, what went right for Miami, and the state of the playoff now. We'll have that top of the hour, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
World Children International and friends like you are giving children in poverty a chance to grow and thrive, to be healthy, to succeed in school, and achieve great things. How do we do it? In the best way possible. By helping ensure access to health care, nutrition, and educational opportunities. And most importantly, by empowering youths and their families to get out of poverty and into employment through life skills, computer, and job training. The very tools they need to break the cycle of poverty and build futures full of promise. Because every child deserves a chance to realize their full and best potential. Learn more about how Children International is empowering children and families by going to children.org today. That's children.org.
I lost count of how many foster homes I lived in. 20, maybe more. Each time, a new family, a new room, but never a space that felt like mine.
There are more than 100,000 children in foster care waiting to be adopted. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption is working to help find them a permanent home.
Now I have my own room and decorated it myself. And just like my family, it's mine to keep.
If you have room in your home or your heart, see how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
I'm back to parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
Nathan has taught me to embrace the moment. Age-wise, I mean, I'm in my late 60s. I'm old enough to be his grandfather. Will he be embarrassed to acknowledge me as his dad? I think the most important thing we can do is let them know that they're safe, that they're valued and cared for and loved, and that they're important.
I knew I wanted to be adopted by him because of how he taught me to be the person who I am today. And it's coming from a dad that didn't expect to become a dad. And I feel very proud to be his son.
That was what he needed. And he was what I needed. Every day is full of new opportunities. That's what it's been about. Realizing the simple things that it takes to make such a huge difference in these kids' lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
What would it take for my child to only miss half a day of school for treatment?
What would it take to fund a cure for childhood cancer?
It would take all of us to come together to support the research. Join us. Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. The college football season continuing with three college football playoff games today. They just started the second half in the Orange Bowl, and Oregon has a 6-0 lead over Texas Tech. It's Indiana and Alabama in the Rose Bowl at 4. The nightcap tonight sees the rematch of Ole Miss and Georgia. That's in the Sugar Bowl at 8. The Buckeyes season came to an end last night with that 24-14 loss to Miami in the Cotton Bowl. The offseason began quickly. Tight end Jelani Thurman, quarterbacks Lincoln Keenholz and Mason Maggs announced they will enter the transfer portal. Here in the last 10 minutes, cornerback Bryce West has announced that he will enter the portal too. This one's sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Need help recovering from the holidays? Get a holiday loan from BMI Federal Credit Union at bmifcu.org/holiday loan.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Low T Center. Low T Center, reinventing men's health care.
All right, final hour of the program. It's not often you see Ohio State get pushed around, right? I mean, just kind of bullied in a way. And they paid for it last night. And we thought that coming off the Indiana loss, that's your ultimate wake-up call. Now, certainly Miami's going to take a page out of that book a little bit, and they had the personnel to do it. And it was weird. I said in the beginning of the program, it's almost like Ohio State should have run the same offense Miami did, which is quick throws, release out of the backfield, pitch and catch, all that. It's tough to do when you have Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate who could beat guys downfield. And there were a lot of ifs in that game, but certainly a lot of them went to Miami. And our friend Pete Futek, who wrote a great synopsis of this game and how Miami shocked Ohio State to take over the CFP. And he's got your Cotton Bowl takeaways, but you'll get him here right now with our friend who is on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Happy New Year, Pete.
Hey, remember, you beat Michigan. So all those fans who are like, I don't care if we win the national championship. I want to beat Michigan. Well, here you go. You beat Michigan. Yeah. You know? So for a lot of fans, everything's okay today. Everything's right?
I guess.
We actually threw out a poll today.
We actually did that. TLC, give them the results of the poll right now. So tell them exactly what you wrote today and tell them what the results are at this point.
The simple question was, which Buckeye football season left you more satisfied, 2024 or 2025? And we have an 89-11 split in favor of last season when they won the national title despite losing to Michigan.
I'm shocked by that. Of course. I mean, like, look, everyone wants to be Michigan. Of course, that's part of the journey. It's part of the stuff, but look, you could say, and you kind of phrased it correctly, that the Michigan loss, and I said this at the time last year, kind of like was your wake-up call, and for all the crying and all that kind of stuff, It was like, okay, well, the team, well, you're the best team in the country. Now go play like it. And they did. And you always have a problem. And we saw this with the Lions and Dan Campbell late in the season. Whenever the head coach takes over the play calling, because it's almost like you don't want, you know, if you're a lawyer, you should not be your own lawyer. If you're a head coach, you should not be your own play caller unless you are just a all-timer super level genius, which, you know, Dan Campbell and, you know, Ryan, they are, but you kind of need a separate set of eyes on that. And the play calling last night made Julian Sain, at least in the first half, look like he couldn't read a Dr. Seuss book. And then they figured it out. And all you need to do is, you know, get that defense to come up with one stop. And for the second straight game, they one had a missed field goal that turned out to really matter. And when they needed one defensive stop, they couldn't get it.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And by the way, even in the Indiana game, in the Big Ten title game, now they did get the ball back with not that much time left, but
sure.
Indiana did pick up, you're right, that a couple big first downs and they couldn't get off the field. And you're right, Ohio State was going to hang their hat on their defense this year. Let me ask you this, honestly. Like,
it worked, by the way. There's no dog in the defense. I mean, the defense gave up, what, 17 points?
Yeah.
I mean, that's good enough. I mean, the defense was all right.
Well, you could almost say they purposely gave up the last touchdown. So,
well, sure.
So you could actually take 14 points away if you really wanted to, but either way. Yep. All right, so what did you think before the game, and how much did it surprise you?
Not at all. You know what? Look, that starting 22 is good enough to win the national championship. It was good enough to start the season. I kind of fell for it late in the game. I picked Miami to at least cover but lose, and I thought, you know what? I actually thought what was going to happen was exactly what happened, except in the reverse. I thought, you know, it was going to be like, oh, tight, 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 and all of a sudden Miami figures it out and makes a big comeback, and then Ohio State pulls away and wins by 10, which, you know, so it, look, they've got NFL guys. I mean, you could. It's not a joke when you say even take out Mendoza. If you want to throw in Jeremiah Smith, who's obviously not eligible yet, you could put a top 10 draft of this year of just guys on that field, and you're probably not crazy wrong. I mean, the talent is just unbelievable. Carson Beck's an old guy. I mean, there was a time when he was the presumptive number one pick in the draft. He's got all the tools. He kept his head about himself. He didn't make any big mistakes. He played within the system, and the offensive line, that's a Mario Cristobal coach line. I mean, it's not like they lost to Tulane. They lost to a team that's got guys, five-star, superstar, next-level Pro Bowl talents, and their offensive line showed up when it had to last night.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Pete. We're a couple hours away from Alabama and Indiana out there at the Rose Bowl. Looks like they've been getting a lot of rain this morning. I don't know if that's going to continue throughout the contest, but looking at Bama now advancing to the quarterfinals and Indiana now waiting on Bama, hit us with your feel on that game and where you think it's headed.
Well, first of all, the hilarious part about this is because, you know, ESPN deemed it this way, apparently, the rain's supposed to stop like exactly at 2 o'clock today. And it's supposed to be not raining until, I don't know, like 2 a.m. So like there's a 12-hour window where this monsoon stops and the animals stop walking 2 by 2. And then it'll be as soon as everything's over and all the media leaves, it's supposed to rain again for the next week. So it does look like it's not going to be dry. But it's not going to. It should not be playing in just a driving rainstorm. And look, you know, this is not field turf. It's not slick. It's not going to be one of those things that favors the team with the good route runners. It's a thick turf out there. If you've ever been out there and felt it, this is going to favor the teams that just don't make mistakes. Alabama doesn't have a running game to begin with. They couldn't run at all against Oklahoma. Couldn't run at all against Georgia. I don't think they're going to run at all on this. It'll be a little tight early. I think it's going to be another defensive slugfest. I would be shocked if there's any sort of, you know, points flying around the board. I'm not buying any of these SEC teams. I don't think Alabama was good. Look, I did the thing yesterday with the Alabama gauntlet. If you go through their schedule, this, oh my God, the gauntlet, every one of those teams on that schedule, on that gauntlet, lost their bowl game. Like, just go right down Missouri, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, all of them lost. And then, you know, Georgia was the one. They got stomped by them in the SEC championship. So I kind of think that Alabama is going to have a hard time today. Not going to be anything pretty, but I'm going with the Hoosiers.
Are you buying into it? Last year I didn't, because the lesser teams were the ones that were getting the buys. Yep. This year that flipped, and the teams that got the buys have not shown up, at least early on in their games, for sure. Are you buying into any of the momentum impact that these teams that have played and won already?
Not really. It kind of does a disservice to Miami last night to say that, you know, that they are just, you know, they know what they're doing, and they, you know, got up to speed, and Ohio State was still trying to get going. I really am more of a believer that, you know what, keep your guys healthy, figure it out. Like, mm-hmm. The last thing you could have happen is, you know, look, last night if Carson Beck got hurt, like he got hurt in the SEC championship game 2 years ago, or if you got, you know, someone else, a big giant injury, that would be more costly, I think, than anything else. And look, I think they're just bad play calls. I think Ohio State just, you know, this whole idea of, well, we're going to put it into gear now. Well, they didn't. They just, this was never a team that really seemed to have that, you know, dominant mindset this year. And they didn't seem to have, I mean, I'm getting real, you know, weird here, but like, they didn't seem to have the hunger, the same sort of, you know, last year's team was desperate. This year's wasn't.
I know you mentioned you don't really love any of the SEC teams remaining, but we got SEC on SEC crime tonight with Ole Miss and Georgia. Ole Miss handles business against Tulane. Nobody really expected them to face much resistance there, but subtracting Kiffin out of the equation, we really didn't know where this thing was headed. As you look at this matchup, do you like Ole Miss coming off a game of momentum, or are you looking at the Dogs as the better squad?
But the Dogs. And look, the first game Ole Miss had, they got played. And I've learned one thing about this year is that nobody remembers any games that happened. Like, no one remembered the Notre Dame Miami game, how that went down. Nobody remembered the Florida State Alabama game. And absolutely no one apparently remembers Ole Miss Georgia, where the final score was big and everyone remembers that Ole Miss was right there. They rope-a-doped them, because Ole Miss was up in the late third quarter. But they also only had the ball for like 13 minutes. And so they were gassed. And so Georgia came out and just started thundering away on this gassed defense. And as it turned out, that was a teachable moment. And it changed everything, because Kiffin changed what he did. Because the week after against Oklahoma, he was like, wait a minute, I got to make sure my offense or my defense can, you know, stand in the fourth quarter. So he didn't slow things down, but he did do more of a tempo thing, which did keep his guys from, you know, losing it late. So they changed their style because of this game. But Georgia pretty much dominated them when they had to. I don't think their offense is going to do too much in this, but I do think Georgia's just the way better team, and they should win pretty easily and move on. And let's see what happens in the rest of this game today, because Oregon's looking like they're just eventually going to take over this. But it would be kind of amazing if we got the Big Ten, the SEC, and Big 12 champion, and have Miami in this. So three conference champions and the best team in the ACC. We've kind of a pretty strong Final Four.
Well done, my man. Thanks for jumping on the holiday, especially. We appreciate you, pal. And hit you again soon. Thank you.
Later.
Pete Futek, collegefootballnews.com editor. Great site, and wrote a lot about our game and obviously the others. But I mean, it's hard to get around the fact that these teams that were sitting and waiting got off to such bad starts. And I'm with him on no excuses. Most coaches, there is a fine line between having too much time to prepare and not enough. I agree with that. Like, that, you know, but 3.5 weeks, you get to scout their first game, you get healthy. Ohio State was coming off a loss. Like, I think that was supposed to help them, to keep them focused. Like, I've asked a lot of people, like, did they lose their edge or just meet their match? And honestly, I'm leaning now towards they met their match. Like, they I don't think they really lost an edge.
I think mentally they were there. They were there, but it's just the execution part of it wasn't there, and Miami took advantage of that. And like Pete mentioned too, that's a roster full of really good players led by a veteran quarterback. But it's something I know, like Dane on our pregame show, he's mentioned that much time off can kind of take you out of whack and have you kind of come into a game, not sluggish mentally, but just physically. You're not as sharp out of the gate as you have been. And we're kind of seeing that even today with Texas Tech kind of looking sluggish as well. They're not helping themselves with turnovers, but there may be something to this, because the evidence is starting to pile up that teams with the bye don't really look the part.
The evidence is piling up, but Ohio State had the very same layoff last year. Were they just more motivated, better team, more experienced? by the way, a team that was not going to let that season end that way, the Jack Sawyers, the Will Howards, the ones that said, we're not going out this way. I don't know. Maybe that had a lot
to
do with it.
It's not all the bye. It's not all the bye, but I can understand how teams, you're not as sharp just game-wise, physically, as you would be if you played a game before.
And one of them was the motivation coming off a loss to Michigan.
Yeah.
And the other was a close game to Indiana. All right, we'll come back, and we'll hit you with a bet 365. And also, Maddie and TLC still working on that bet for Steelers-Ravens. One former coach says Baltimore shouldn't even care if this guy is healthy. You'll hear it next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your Heritage Sports Talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Get ready.
That glaucoma is one of the leading causes of blindness.
Because there are often no early symptoms, nearly half of those with glaucoma may not even know they have it until vision loss has occurred.
I was diagnosed with normal tension glaucoma in July of 2020. And what we found out at that point was I had already lost 40% of my sight. And you think it only affects people that are, you know, 75 or older, retired, grandparents. And that's not the reality of it.
I didn't think at all glaucoma was going to affect me because I didn't know of anyone that had glaucoma, no one in my family. When you have glaucoma, you can't get back that sight that you lost. And so early detection and treatment is vitally, vitally important.
Don't miss life's most beautiful moments. Schedule an eye exam today.
National Glaucoma Research, a Bright Focus Foundation program, offers free resources and tips for healthy vision.
Learn how to protect your sight at stopglaucoma.org.
Day one. The hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one. To learn more and get help on any day, visit lls.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
What does it mean to give 100%? It means giving everything you've got, every single day. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. So no matter what you give, we give 100% for life-saving research victories, 100% to making new discoveries that lead to innovative treatments, 100% to groundbreaking cancer research that could one day save someone you love. We know cancer research is working. Over the last 30 years, an estimated 4.5 million lives have been saved thanks to game-changing research breakthroughs. But there is more work to do. That's why the V Foundation gives 100% of every dollar donated directly to cancer research. We will always give 100% to accelerate victory over cancer.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Donate today at V.org.
Join the Fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State, yes, yes it is. Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We are looking at partly to mostly cloudy skies here for your New Year's Day with high temperatures in the mid-20s here for this afternoon. A few flurries are possible, but otherwise we're looking at pretty quiet conditions. And we're looking at more sunshine here for tomorrow on your Friday with highs into the lower 30s. And we'll keep the 30s in the forecast here as we head through the weekend with a mix of clouds and sunshine. And that's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
Bet365, the official online sports book of Rothman and Ice. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Rothman and Ice present Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF. That's 614-NEW-ROOF. Or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, Ice, a little Bet365 time.
Let's lock it in. Let's lock it in because at Bet365, they got great deals waiting for everybody. But if you are a new customer, listen closely because they got an awesome deal waiting just for you. All you have to do, folks, is bet $5. Soon after that, you're getting $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger and better when you bet on spreads, totals, player props, or money lines. And also, just keep an eye out for those daily boost and super boost as well. What are you locking in on right now?
A couple things. One, if you were fortunate enough to take the under in the Oregon Tech game, that was you're at the buffet at the end of the first quarter. Like you're, that was a dead under the whole game. I found a way to maybe, I like to try to get myself to even money. This is going to be kind of a low risk, low reward kind of thing, but I'm going to tease Bama up. I'm going to tease him up to 14.5. I think with whatever, if the weather's not a factor, I still think that Bama's playing on some house money. When Indiana's played equal type talent, they've all been close games. Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, they've all been close. I think Alabama's got some equal talent. Now, they may not have it where it counts perfectly. The run game, they ran it a little bit in their last game, but and I know they got down early. And I know Indiana has certainly buried teams before, but Indiana's going into this thing now as the new favorite. They're protecting a goose egg, a perfect season. They've got a Heisman winner coming off that campaign. Mm-hmm. Indiana's at the Rose Bowl for the first time probably since 67 or whatever it was. And I'm going to take Bama plus 14.5, and I'm going to pair it with Georgia on the money line. That gets me to plus 102.
I think
those two things.
If Bama's going to get this thing done, I think we're going to be talking about Ty Simpson balling out. Because you brought up the run game for Bama. I just don't see them being able to move Indiana around that much. Bama's got to watch up for the drops, man. They've had a drop issue all year. Ryan Williams and that crew. But I think Indiana's going to get it done.
What do you think about that, though? Bama plus 14.5 with Georgia on the money line. That parlay to get you to even money.
I don't know what's going on, but I think Ole Miss is winning tonight.
Really?
Yeah, I think Ole Miss
in the rematch game. Georgia's defense has gotten so much better.
I don't know. I'm probably taking some ugly bait because I watched them just house Tulane.
Kirby's 4-0 in in-season rematches.
Though. I like Chambliss.
Yeah,
probably on the wrong side of that, but I think what you got lined up is pretty good. I like that though. I like that for you.
That defense. Like, they've played six games against, Georgia has against top 40 scoring offenses.
They're hunting
and
right
they've
now.
Allowed only 9 points.
Yeah, they're hunting
so
right now.
So, Georgia Tech, and then 7 points to Bama in the last two games.
I got to hope for the bye week blues. That's what I got to hope for.
That's right. And by the way, in that first game, Georgia outscored them 17-0 in the fourth.
Yeah.
Like, they blew them out when it counted late, but, all right.
And apparently, Lane will not be there. I know that was a little bit of a...
That
he is not going to be in the building, which I was hoping that he was.
Is he going to tell us that his players wanted him to be there, but they wouldn't allow it, like the program?
Oh, man. All right, real quick, AR. Looking in the NBA tonight, we got Celtics and Kings. Jaylen Brown's having an awesome season for Boston. He's sixth in the league in points per game at 29.5. So without Jason Tatum, he is holding it down. The Celtics actually looking pretty good despite all the injuries. But I'm going to take the under on his threes made tonight. Plus 105 is the juice for under 1.5 threes for Jaylen Brown. So that's what I'm going to roll with. Special stuff from him this year. But I don't know if he's going to light it up from three tonight. Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only, must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. In-app only.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
What is happening? Like, Texas Tech is doing nothing, AR.
It's a no-show.
They were marching down the field, and Oregon just got the ball back again. 13-0 for the folks that aren't watching the game. 13-0, about 6.5 to go in the third. Yeah, so the Tech Raiders offense is just nowhere to be found.
Mm.
Nowhere to be found. So, yeah, turnovers, like they have pick, fumble. It's a mess right now. Absolute mess.
The bye blues, man.
Yeah.
They've been real. And I, like I said earlier, I chalked it up to last year that the teams that got the byes were the lesser teams. So I wasn't sinking all of my thought into that was the difference. But it has become this momentum thing has become a little real. The confidence you get from winning a game, you get into a flow. Yeah. You feel like you can stay sharper because you've played. So you're more like tournament tough.
Yeah.
And it's showing right now. All right, you guys. Ravens still a 3.5-point favorite at Pittsburgh on Sunday night.
Hey.
Do we have anything on Lamar Jackson at this point, Matty? Your squad, your guy.
He's in, man. I think he's in. Got a full practice in yesterday.
Player props are on the board.
Let me see. I think Schefter threw out something again today. Mm-hmm. But I think we're leaning to see a number 8 playing in Pittsburgh. On Sunday night, two really good games on Saturday as well. But, yeah, it was reported again today, AR, that Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson is practicing for a second straight day after being a full participant on Wednesday.
You'll take him over Snoop?
Oh, yeah.
You'd absolutely prefer this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, okay, I just want to make sure.
I don't know if you heard, but Rex Ryan says you shouldn't even care who's playing quarterback.
So you're saying give Derrick Henry 8 carries?
Yeah. That's what we talked about yesterday. They finally dehydrated, is the term that we use on Sundays. They finally dehydrated Derrick Henry. Just they will run him like crazy against the Steelers on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think that's the best thing that could ever happen to Baltimore, to realize, oh, we do have a first ballot Hall of Fame running back in December and January. Ride him and ride your defense. By the way, he saves their defense because you're not on the field.
Right.
And to me, that is a great formula. I don't think they really care if Lamar's playing quarterback or not. The game plan they had, they keep this game plan. They can definitely beat Pittsburgh going into Pittsburgh and actually have a chance to do some damage in the playoffs.
Hey, if they're just handing off, anybody can hand off a football.
Isn't the spread? Do you think it was baked in? Because in the beginning of the week, I thought it was three and a half.
Good question, AR.
And it hasn't really moved a lot with Lamar coming back.
If Huntley were starting, I would have expected the Steelers to be a very slight favorite.
Yeah, I'm trying to ask myself where I think the spread would have been if we knew Lamar was just straight up healthy. And I don't think I would have guessed much more than 3.5.
Okay.
So I think it's
I was just curious. It's appropriate. I don't know whether it just moved a half a point over that key number of 3. Maybe that was enough. Mm-hmm. But
listen, I hear what Rex Ryan's trying to say, but when it comes to the run game, Lamar's obviously an added addition to that. And the threat, I know he hasn't been able to do that much because of all the injuries and stuff. But, yeah, as a defense, you gotta worry about that. But it does sound like on the other side of the ball that T.J. Watt's going to be in this thing. So, yeah, you know, 2-star players coming back from this hat and T-shirt game. A lot on the line, man. Should be fun.
Hat and T-shirt game.
For the starts.
I mean, this is more than that because this is to have this being at all for the AFC North, you know?
Yeah.
When was the last time you bought a division championship shirt or hat?
Never.
Exactly. They must sell them. They make them.
I don't think I would buy anything that isn't a Super Bowl win.
I had Super Bowl t-shirts as a kid from 05 and 08.
I don't think I'd do an AFC title game.
I don't think I would buy a Super Bowl, like, if my own team, until after I knew they won it.
Yeah, for sure. That's where I'm at.
I see people, we've been to Super Bowls, you know.
No, we're not getting those preemptive Super Bowl tattoos.
No, I'm just wondering whether the people that are buying the stuff on the way into the game.
Oh, like, I see what you're
2026
saying.
2026 champs.
Well, no, that they don't know like whether their team has won yet or
like
not.
We're here. Like just the two
helmets,
teams.
The date, all that.
Okay, I
don't know if I want that if my team loses.
I would probably
not that I'll
lean
ever get
in
this choice.
Some of that. Man, the Super Bowl shot was cool last year in New Orleans. That was really, that was nice down there. I mean, then they had in the corner all the memorabilia with all the helmets and all the other, like, Hall of Famer sign and stuff. Like, yeah, that stuff is good there. But, yeah, you got to have the official stuff that we won the game, I think, to purchase that. But, yeah, Sunday night's going to be insane, man. Insane.
All right, those are your pre-snap. You guys will have to figure it out. You got a day to do it.
Harry and Sebas, who I met at the Ohio State Grambling basketball game, actually.
What up, Harry?
He says that if the Steelers lose, I should have to dress up like an umpire like that kid.
Oh, the one that you hated.
The one that made me famous.
Why don't we combine the two? Or the one we came up with where he's not on the mic for a week and he has to wear an umpire outfit in here every day that week. We'll just combine the two.
Hey,
with a spray tan.
Yes. I do. And earrings and
frosted tips. Frosted
full tip. Savage with the spray tan.
I'm by
the
way, French this, dip. The, trying to say frosted
the
tips.
The spray tan would be French great dips. If we added to it that if somebody said, what in the hell happened to you? And you said, I just like the way it looks. It's wintertime. I so pale. I need to get that spray tan. All right. We'll come back with our boy Damon Severson off a heartbreaker last night, but we'll hit Hockey and Hounds in 2 minutes. Rothman and I.
We can do more.
Enough already. We can find a cure.
Enough already.
We can do better for our kids.
Enough already. We are relying on you.
We can come together to support Children's Cancer Research Fund, a national nonprofit dedicated to ending childhood cancer that is on the front line of breakthroughs. Because
it's enough already.
Go to childrenscancer.org today.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
think that dog conversation wouldn't necessarily blend with hockey talk. And you'd be wrong.
You idiots!
Like a fine wine and dark chocolate, it's going down smooth. Rothman and Ice present Hockey and Hounds.
Sponsored by Telhio Credit Union. Count on Telhio, Columbus's hometown credit union, for all your personal and business banking needs. Learn more at telhio.org.
Now, joining the Hockey and Hounds League is Jackets blue liner Damon Severson, a man who skates hard so his dog Reggie can have a better life.
Yeah, and we certainly thank him for doing this on New Year's Day and coming off a heartbreaker. There's a man with integrity right there. Our friend Damon Severson, CBJ defenseman with us here, courtesy of Telhio Credit Union. My man, thanks for the time. I know it wasn't the game you guys wanted last night, and the weird narrative kind of rears its ugly head again, Sevo, with that lead falling apart in the third. But thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me. Definitely, I wouldn't say it wasn't the game we wanted. It was the game we wanted. We outplayed them, but we just didn't get the result, unfortunately. So it's a bit of a stinger, but hopefully 2026 will be able to kind of change that narrative.
When you feel that thing, and it happens so fast like that, bang, 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 I think the first one was a power play. Did you guys get kind of caught up in it after it was going the other way? I mean, do you feel momentum slipping, or is that not something that you sensed during that time where they were hitting you up with the tie and then the lead?
Yeah, I don't even know. It was a weird one. Just obviously, we went down shorthanded there, and then they just kind of got that lucky goal. I think the guy was trying to make the pass through the middle, ended up just kind of finding its way through three sticks, and then Jet had a screen in front, so he just couldn't see it, and it just kind of slid in on him. So started off by a bit of a lucky one there, and then obviously 2-1. We're still confident. We got the lead. We're going to play the right way and try to get the next one, stay aggressive. But and then obviously they kind of had a 4-2 rush play. A guy had a shot, I think, and maybe even deflected off Matejczuk's stick and went perfectly in the top corner. So it's like, things like that. They tie the game, and then just to give that next one up was a bit of a kind of a blind pass to the slot, and then just obviously a guy left alone in front there. So it was quick. The second and third ones were the ones that obviously, put us a little bit on our heels. But in saying that, we were all over them. Even when they did get that lead there, we were clawing our way back. We had numerous chances. Obviously, it sucks we didn't get the tying goal. But in saying that, we can't be giving up three goals in whatever it was, a minute and a half to go down like that in the third period, especially when that's kind of been the narrative we've had against us so far this year.
Damon, what's the balance when you're a defenseman and you're trying to obviously hold your position, but you also don't want to screen your own goalie? It looked like there were some shots from deep that got through Greaves, and really probably not to his fault. I mean, if you got almost double screens, but you have to be where they are. So talk to us about that balance of trying to hold your position and get guys out of the lane where he can see, but yet that's a tough thing to do in hockey.
Yeah, there's obviously a lot that goes on there. Obviously, from a goaltending perspective, I'm sure that Jet would be able to speak to this better than I can. But from his perspective, he just wants to be able to see pucks clean. And when it's a rush like that, it's tough to do, right? You're just trying to get a stick on a puck, get in the lane. And on the offensive side, when players have the puck on their stick, they're trying to use us as defensemen as screens and kind of find those little holes and little lanes through sticks and bodies to use us as a screen, and that way the goalie can't pick up the puck. So it's kind of a bit of a layered thing where offensively you're trying to use it, and defensively you're just trying to obviously let your goalie see a clean shot, but also get a stick on a puck and try to disrupt any play you can. So on a play like that where it was off the rush, it's kind of a bit of both. But unfortunately, it ended up going against us there with just a perfect shot, obviously top corner off a rush from the top of the circles, 4-on-2. Obviously we can't be giving up, but yeah, just one of those things where it's that. And then, the one where he was screening the first, and like I said, he can't see the puck. You're not going to be able to stop it. He's obviously battling in there, fighting for position, and there's obviously bodies at the net and everything like that. And then the third one was just I would call that one a bit more of a lucky play, just because the guy threw a backhand kind of hope play to the slot and ended up going to, their D-men kind of creeping down there and having some time to shoot that one top corner. So I wouldn't fault our goaltending on any of those goals. It was just unfortunate that, they happened so quick.
Sevo, you mentioned the unfortunate narrative that's kind of attached to you guys as far as closing out games. Is that something that you feel like amongst the team? Do you feel like you guys are getting tight in those moments?
I think earlier in the year, I wouldn't call it tight, but I'd call it just kind of like less aggressive. We just kind of seemed like we were sitting back a little bit and kind of letting the other team dictate the play. Whereas, you know, now we've kind of just been more aggressive and trying to get that next goal, trying to make the next play to obviously, you know, close the game out and put it a little bit more further out of reach for their team. But I think at this point now, it's been such a narrative. We've just kind of been like, hey, like we're trying to do anything we can to get rid of it, but we're not necessarily dwelling on it or being worried about it. So I don't think we're gripping our sticks too tight or anything like that. If anything, it was just kind of one of those games last night where, you know, the team that deserved to win didn't win the game, unfortunately. And, you know, recently before Christmas there and even later when we were on that California trip, we did a good job in closing a few of those games. So it's not like we can't do it. We definitely can. It's just been kind of unfortunate that's followed us around a little bit this year and we want to put a stop to it.
Listen, we were so looking forward to talking to you because you guys were on a roll. You had won three in a row, and you just let loose with that slapper. I'm telling you, that was, what, 96-plus miles an hour? And, I mean, maybe that's what people didn't know about you. I don't know. You've got a hell of a shot. You like to shoot, and when you have a chance, however, in some games, you do make the extra pass, which I think is great patience by you. But you were on a roll. Does this one... Listen, they all hurt the same. You're not trying to lose games, but you were playing so well and you were at home and it's New Year's Eve and you're up to nothing. Like, do certain losses linger more than others or affect you more than others?
I hope not. I think that one definitely stings, obviously, just with, like you said, the timing of it being at home, being New Year's Eve, big game. You know, like we have a couple days off here. We don't play today. We don't play tomorrow. Kind of, it just sits around and that leaves a bad taste in everyone's mouth. So, it's kind of a combination of the timing of it, but we're going to try not let it linger. We got two big 3 o'clock games this weekend that we got to, you know, they're both in our conference as well. Both these teams are playing and, we need to get wins, especially at home. And then we go on the road again for a week road trip with four games in there. And this month doesn't get easier with, I think we got like 16 games in 31 days or something like that. So it's going to get hectic, but we try not to let it linger. We're just going to try to move on, but it definitely leaves a sour taste in your mouth and it stings a bit more just with the circumstances and especially where we're at in the standings right now too. And we need wins.
You touched on the games that are on deck, Sivo, but you know, Buffalo's next on Saturday, a team that's won 10 in a row. When you look at their body of work and some of the problems they can present, just kind of hit us with a little bit of a breakdown and some of the important things you guys are going to have to take care of if you want to beat Buffalo.
Yeah, they're obviously, you know, humming right now. They're playing a lot better than they were at the start of the year. And obviously when changes happen, people kind of get fires lit underneath them. And, you want to be the team to end a streak like that. Everyone looks to, you know, whether it's a Stanley Cup champion for the year before or a team that's on a hot streak, everyone wants to beat those teams just to kind of see how you measure up and give you that little extra confidence just to move forward in your season. So when a team comes into your building like that, it's been so hot, and we obviously are coming off, we were on a bit of a hot streak ourselves, but we came off a tough loss there last night. We want to turn things around, and they're looking to keep their streak going as well. So they're playing with confidence. We got to come out hot early, have a good first period, and then just continue that with consistency throughout the game, because they can score. They're a high-end octane offensive team, and they're a good team. You got to give them credit. Everyone's a good team in the league, but you win 10 games in a row, you're doing something right.
Well, you got them in overtime earlier this year, so then you got to certainly try to protect home ice here and against teams in the East and all that. And that's what makes these so important. So hopefully you guys will get right back to it. And you were doing this without Zach, too. Forgot to ask you about that, just the impact of you guys stepping up with Zach being out.
Yeah, obviously a world-class player in Zach. And, it's tough to, you know, replace minutes and replace things that guy does on the ice. We're just trying to do it by committee. And he obviously plays a ton for us, puts up a lot of numbers, and is just a solid player overall. So it's, no one's going to replicate his game, what he brings. No one's going to try to beat him out there. We're just going to all try to step up and each guy that's on the back end just try to play solid hockey and do whatever we can to try to help the team at the end of the day, because, like I said, there's no one that's going to be able to replicate what he does on the ice in our blue line.
Well, you guys are doing a pretty good job right now, and hopefully he'll be back this weekend. Got some good news for you. Remember, that last puppy from that pumpkin spice litter is getting adopted today, so that's awesome. I was happy to be able to tell you that. And the dog I'm going to pitch today is Bloom. Bloom is with the Powell Animal Welfare Society, my friends over at Paws. And this dog has been with them since July, And she's also going to be at Mutz & Company in Dublin on Saturday, along with a couple of other fosters from 10 a.m. to noon. So that's a cool thing if people are out this weekend and they want to meet Bloom. And she's a beautiful little pit mix. I love her. She's only a year old and potty trained, does really well, left, you know, outside of a crate, walks well on the leash, really snuggly dog. And she's just going to promise to bring any family a lot of joy. So I'd love to have her with a doggy sibling to play with. That would be ideal, but also just happy to be with her owners as well. So Bloom is with PowellPaws.org, PowellPaws.org, and that's Powell Animal Welfare Society. And if you want to check her out on the site, you can, or go to Mutz & Company in Dublin this Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon, because she'll be there with others, and it'll be a beautiful time for you to meet her out and about and not just see her on the website. So we'll pitch Bloom, and hopefully we'll have some good news for you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, sounds good. I guess the new year, hopefully we can find a new home for Bloom, and it sounds like she can make somebody's home a lot more better in 2026.
Are you a New Year's resolution guy?
My wife was asking me that this morning. She's like, what is your New Year's resolutions? And I was kind of like, I actually haven't thought about it. My first thing that came out of my mouth was just win more games and be a playoff team this year. Just thinking about more of the bigger picture with, obviously, you know, tackling my job and things that the reason why we're here. So that's the biggest thing, I think, is, you know, win more games, do everything I can to help the team win. I didn't have anything personally that I thought of, but I'm sure I'll think of a few here this afternoon while we're sitting on the couch watching some TV.
You're a great dude, man. We appreciate you, and I agree with that. CBJ fans will love to hear that team attitude and mindset. All right, bounce right back this weekend, bud, and we'll hopefully talk to you soon.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
That is Damon Severson, courtesy of Telhio Credit Union. Experience member-driven banking at Telhio, proudly serving Ohio for more than 90 years. We'll come back with Tell the Truth, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Hey, it's Berm here.
Was a man who couldn't stand.
A mom who couldn't wait.
A scientific community that said it couldn't be done.
And then you.
And then I.
And then we. Brought neuromuscular disease into screaming color with the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
For 75 years, our voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
We've willed the impossible into existence.
We've pushed the science,
raised the funds,
shifted the narrative,
and transformed the reality of life with neuromuscular diseases.
For 75 years, we've built communities together,
established the field of neuromuscular medicine,
and made it thrive.
Call that a legacy.
Call it impact.
Call it momentum.
Just call it ours.
Because it's the generations of community heroes that give MDA the strength we have today.
And until neuromuscular disease is a thing of the past, you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton. I support Feeding America because they help provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Do you hate me?
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. It's almost Football Friday. All play and no work.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football, The Fan. Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now, get 50% off all window styles from Window Nation at windownation.com.
Where do you guys stand right now on the bet? Like, if the bet had to happen now, what would it be? Like, where are you guys on?
I really don't think we know.
Because you're like 24 hours away now from trying to establish something for Sunday
night. We had
night.
Like a whole breakdown after the show the other day where dyeing our hair blonde came up. Like, I would do blonde. Like, he
a
would
pair
do
of honey badgers.
Frosted tips. Yeah. And then like a
little Tyrann Mathieu action on a Matty Ice.
Like a tan came up for him. We're all over the place.
I kind of like the spray tan.
I hate that
extra
one.
Orange. And if he's out and about this winter,
that's going to get political.
He can't say he lost a bet.
You trying to turn him into like a Cheez-It, like that type of orange? Is that what you're thinking?
Like an Oompa Loompa, like Oompa. Some, Loompa. Yeah, like
they were scary, by the way.
Come just on, like man. Like a. Like bronzer times like 10. Like,
can you even get it that? I don't even know.
Don't
can know. You get it that 10?
I don't
know.
Just go in and ask for
tan.
The.
He's completely out
look
on
savage.
That.
So, the first idea, just to. Just to regroup for everybody savage. For who may have missed it. Yeah, what a look savage.
What is, that? Just, what is that? Like, you think dudes that are tan, is that a line you think they would say they are? Like, super tan dude. Oh, I look savage.
No, there was a fictional character.
Look in the mirror and I see a savage.
Yeah. He was all tan. His name was Doc Savage. And I don't know, maybe my dad used to say it all
Savage.
The time.
Savage.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah, Doc Savage. I was right.
Texans?
Doc Savage, the man of bronze. Like, that's what I want him to be.
Okay. I like the umpire idea.
I reject that.
He hated that kid so much.
Who's that?
The umpire. You know, our guy Harry mentioned that.
I don't want anything that involves, like... Buying clothes that we'll never wear again.
He doesn't want to play dress up.
I won't.
He doesn't want to do the tan either. We don't know.
The first
right,
idea,
we don't know what we're
so
doing.
So the first idea was loser has to do mustache march. So that means I'd have to grow just a mustache and Ice would have to shave his beard down to just a mustache. However, Ice approximated that it would take 4 months to regrow the beard.
To get it to where
four
it is
months.
Where it is now. I'm jealous, man. You can cut off your beard and get back in about, 3 weeks?
I mean, but your beard is kind of long, like in the chin.
Yeah,
so
the goatee area.
If I went that far,
yeah, I don't
that
think
would
I could ever get to the length.
Well, I did. I proposed
the scruff
this.
For sure, but.
Because Nicole Sheeran was weighing in on this as well. I proposed this to them, AR, and they weren't having it. And I said, can I keep the goatee with the mustache and get rid of the beard? And they said no.
Yeah,
no.
It's got to be just the creepy mustache. Right.
Yeah, so you got to be like, for sure. You know what Fisher's suggestion was?
I don't think I've heard this, so
he said,
what is it?
What if you two traded spots for a day? He's trying to promote me.
You know what? Go back to my old stomping ground. Run the board for AR.
I think.
Who does this truly penalize?
Exactly. You.
You, I guess.
AR's got to look out for us.
It's you.
What do we
like, I feel like Maddie might say, I can take a show off. I'll go over there, punch some
make
buttons.
Make it a week.
Talk to the listener.
Make it a week. Yeah. I don't know.
What do we decide? We had a decision for AR. If they tied, AR had
I'm
to
not
do something
a,
not forget.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
We had something.
All right, let's keep our eye on the prize here.
I think AR, you remember. He just doesn't want to tell us.
I do remember. These are your teams.
I forget.
Your squads.
Hey, if they tie, can you grow a beard? I know you can.
I can definitely grow it. I can't get it, like I was saying. I
the
can
TV
definitely...
guy and you won't allow it, though.
No, what are you talking about? I shave like twice a week now, at best.
You should let it ride.
No, I mean like actually grow a beard.
Playoff hockey.
Not like 5 o'clock shadow.
I used to remember back in the day, Maddie?
I want you to do it to the, for the like, rest of the hockey season.
No.
Playoff beards, Rothman.
No.
Yeah, if they make the playoffs, we won't shave.
Okay, I'm here for that.
But I don't...
Anywhere?
Hello.
All right. So, but if it had to happen, see, the simplest one, and you guys don't want to do this, but the simplest one is him not talking for a week.
I like that.
And you having to eat something very unhealthy. That was it. But I know I don't want to make
I feel
guys...
like that the scale isn't even, because that's like a one-time thing for me, and he's got to do it for a week. He's dreading that. Like, the thought of him not being able to talk for a week, he does
the
not...
The punishment does not fit the crime.
At all.
That next Monday, when the dog's off the leash,
oh my gosh.
Just you wait and see.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
For the folks that don't know, not only does the bet include he can't have the open mic night, but any segment like Tell the Truth, ins and outs, NFL picks like that. He can't even do those.
We're bringing in a stunt actor.
Yeah, we're bringing in CB. CB's coming back. He doesn't know that he has to do this, but he's going to do it.
I'll be a ghostwriter.
Okay, well,
I'll be like that author who co-authors all the athletes' biographies. So it's like...
I just think that would be a pretty severe penalty for my man to my right here. If we started a show on Monday
and I had to eat,
and
like
he had to eat a 1,500 calorie piece of cheesecake or whatever it was,
I just don't think that translates through the radio very well.
Oh, I listen. Stupid bits like this have been done for years.
We are on YouTube. People can see the pain on my face.
And
on
plus,
YouTube.
We'll be doing the play-by-play of him eating it. Like,
I also don't think our listeners would like view that as a punishment, because our listeners might be like, "Oh, you're eating a giant, cheesecake factory cheesecake. Sign me up."
No, it's about me.
They might be jealous.
That is a punishment
for
me, though.
A lot of people might think that not talking for a week is not a punishment.
No, there's embarrassment and shame in that.
Oh, like you're in a dunce cap in the corner? Like, make you turn around and face the corner?
I think that is... I think that's a totally fair punishment on my end. If the Steelers lose, my microphone is off for an entire week.
You're good
week.
With that. All right, so then we just have to figure out the
half
other
of
half,
it,
right?
I think we figured it out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, before we go, I guess. And by the way, Oregon up now 16-0 after another field goal, about 8 minutes left in the fourth.
And they're going for it on every fourth down, I think.
So Dan Lanning's terrible management doesn't even matter.
No, it doesn't. Because they should be at, like, what, 25 points maybe at this point?
Yeah, because they're passing on field goals left and right.
Yeah. Hey, no doubt. Before we go. Happy New Year's.
Yep.
Miss anything from our show? Don't worry. You can always catch up wherever you get your podcast. All you have to do is type in Rothman and Ice, everything we do. From noon to three, we'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the podcast as well.
Yeah, make the start to the new year a really happy and healthy one. I know that certainly it didn't start the way a lot of people around here wanted it to. We will press forward. We will rebound. And, of course, we hope that everyone has a wonderful holiday and a great start to the new year. Thanks for listening. And keep it locked here, right on the fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
BMI Federal.